Nerd! It's the Frogcast. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Another edition of the Film Drunk Frogcast is here for you. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. This, of course, your ear rapist, Ben. We have the whole crew that's left in San Francisco here. Super blogger Vince.
That's me.
Fresh back from Austin, Texas, and South By.
Got my cowboy hat on. I'm shooting to kill.
You have three pairs of cowboy boots on. It's crazy.
That's right. I got fat because everything's bigger in Texas.
And you come back bigger.
Exactly.
It's crazy. Future NFL Hall of Famer Brendan's in the house.
Squad!
Yeah. Would you say that's the 1,000th time you've said it or more than that?
Are we talking about last 72 hours?
Last 72 hours. Yeah, that's
1,000.
That's how I... Anytime I, any sort of calendar length, it's always 72 hours.
Yeah, running 72 hour window.
Yeah. Rolling 72 hours.
Yeah.
Thanks everyone for joining. Well, hopefully we'll have Brett on at some point. We don't know. He might be locked in a subway or something.
It's the only thing I can think of. Unless like 9/11,
9/13. It would be 3/20.
Yeah. Mm. You know. Hopefully that didn't happen though. Our prayers are with him.
Always. Godspeed, Brett. Yeah. Check out frotcast.com as well. This always go on Film Drunk, of course, but we're trying to get a little home away from the Film Drunk where you can go leave comments and let us know what you want to do there. Tonight, Vince will tell us all about South By.
I had a good story coming back that we'll get into.
Good story coming back. He's going to play us some stand-up. He's going to play us his interview with Buck Angel. Right?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you had a perplexed look.
No, I thought I heard a weird sound,
like a mouse in the computer.
Yeah, exactly.
You might have had one of those.
Yeah, you get them in there in Texas. They crawl right in there.
Well, because everything's bigger.
It's warm.
Yeah. They try to stow away.
Yeah, right in the computer.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to get started with, Vince? You want to tell us a little?
You saw Queen of Versailles.
Yeah, which made Brett. So Brett tried to get us all to see Stoker.
Oh, yeah. Film Drunk Movie or Frogcast Movie Club. Next week, hopefully we'll all have seen Stoker, with the exception of Ben, who refuses to see movies that we want to see until a year later.
I refuse to see movies that I really don't care to see.
Okay.
I played that game for a while at the beginning, and it was good. It was a good time. And then I felt like that was just a couple hours of my life gone every week. I don't have the same dedication as you or Laramie for the craft.
Yeah, for a little while we did see a movie every week, and I was like bending my schedule.
I'll admit that is a tough schedule to keep up, especially when you work like 13 hours a day like Brendan does.
Yeah.
Or when you just have a non-movie related job.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're going to screeners and writing reviews, it makes a little more sense.
Understandable.
Just saying.
I'd like to get back to like one every 2 weeks, maybe one a month.
Well, with the upcoming movies.
Or Netflix Instant or something.
Well, so now I have Netflix.
I can get down with Netflix Instant.
Yeah, so now I have Netflix, so I could get on with that. Or even like Zero Dark.
Which explains why Ben just saw
Queen of Versailles.
Queen of Versailles, which we talked about, I don't know, 10 Frogcasts
I think
ago?
It was 4 years ago. You talked about it before it was even a concept.
Right.
I did like it. That was definitely one of my favorite documentaries of last year. I think I like The Ambassador probably a little better.
So that's in my queue.
Yeah.
Should I watch it?
I like
Ambassador's
The Ambassador
very
a lot.
Good. Yeah. You gotta watch that.
I like the Draft House docs because they're always a little bit dark. They're always lurid and sort of messed up.
Yeah, Queen of Versailles was fun. It was there's mixed emotions as you watch it.
Yeah,
as you sort of want their house to burn down, but you don't want them to get hurt.
Explain the plot a little bit.
Well, those of you that haven't seen it, it's the self-proclaimed god of king of timeshares,
mm-hmm.
one of the biggest privately owned or biggest timeshare company in the world. It starts off with them and just living in their opulence and taking private jets to go to the fast food place and
building the biggest single family home in the country, which I think is 90 some thousand square feet.
Right around there, 95,000 square feet.
Yeah,
had a bowling alley and a skating rink. And it's basically a hotel for the family. And so they're building that. They're doing great. They're just on top of the world. And the house, they called it Versailles because they went to Versailles and they were just, we need this.
Yeah.
And I also...
Like every nouveau riche asshole, they basically are like, ooh, let's build the tackiest sort of fake attempt at... an aristocratic house. Yeah,
I like when they combine stuff. So it'd be like maybe Roman columns in the front, and then in the inside it's like French, and then in the back it's Greek or something. Yeah. I think that would be fun.
Well, that's the typical thing. When you have a lot of money but you don't have like taste, you're like, oh, right. I want to have a classic car, but it also has to have huge spinny rims and like a CD player. And so you just get like this Frankenstein monster of tacky crap.
Yeah, so I'm sure it's being built again. So anyway, unbeknownst to anyone as they started filming this was the Great Recession of 2008, which probably not the best.
As far as the context of this film is concerned, the Great Timeshare Crunch of
2008. Yeah, yes, exactly. The great Timeshare Fall of 2008. So, you know, when people don't have money, turns out they want timeshares even less than when they do have money. And there's definitely some highlights when times are good. They're opening up a huge tower in Vegas, and you see the main sales guy there, like the VP, who's actually the CEO's son, just saying how that you're telling all this, the other salespeople, you are saving lives here.
Right. The studies show that people who regularly go on vacation live longer lives. So go out and save some lives today.
And clap, clap,
which
clap,
has
clap.
Nothing to do with disposable income. And, you know, people with disposable income probably have living more comfortable lives and having better health care and things like that.
But also, but if you have disposable income and don't go on vacation, you're more stressed.
That's true.
Studies show. Yeah.
What was the hotel again? Was it Planet Hollywood?
Yeah, it was Planet Hollywood, whatever the name of the company. I always forget.
Westgate. I think it's Westgate.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
I stayed at Planet Hollywood like right after it opened.
Wait, was that owned by Westgate?
Yes.
I don't remember. Okay. I don't know at what time or where it kind of intersected with...
when you were there.
When I was there. But I stayed there in like early 2010. And it was clear that some of the stuff still hadn't been finished.
Mm-hmm. It probably was when it was still owned by Westgate.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the... Well, so it goes through and they're having what they perceive to be money trouble, which means they go shop for toys at Walmart and she spends what looks like several thousand dollars on stuff that they clearly don't need. She buys... They have eight kids or nine kids. She had an awesome line, the wife, that... You know, at first I didn't want kids. I was worried about taking care of them and what it would do to my body. And then I found out with nannies, you just have them and the nanny takes care of them.
Right. So why not have as many as possible?
My favorite line of the whole movie was the exchange where she's like, oh, the lizard died. And the son goes, I didn't even know we had a lizard.
And she sort of bats it a couple times.
Yeah.
And the daughter comes in and goes, fine, I'm the worst person in the world. And
she's the angsty adopted daughter, right?
Correct.
Correct. Which makes it kind of extra special.
She was so charming. Like, she's one of the more charming characters in the whole movie.
I mean, she had some perspective, even though she had the crazy angst of the adopted kid from the broken home.
Yeah.
She probably had the best perspective. Not that's saying much, but she at least had some sort of baseline normalcy of hey, not everyone lives like this.
It's a weird situation because it's sort of like, it's almost like Different Strokes if Mr. Drummond was like Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack or something, where he just had all this money and he was just sort of throwing it around wildly.
I really liked when...
It's a mixed analogy, I realize.
When the wife went back to New Jersey, back to her roots, to go visit some friends and family she hadn't seen for 10 or 15 years. She flies commercial. A big deal. Kids, have you ever flown commercial? Like they're basically in stowage. You know, they're just traveling with the rats
steerage,
and the dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, steerage.
I don't think anyone under 18 should be allowed to fly first class.
I'd be fine with that, but whatever. I mean, the ticket costs the same. What's the difference?
I don't know. I mean, just make them sit in coach. Like, they don't need a bigger seat.
They need
to develop a perspective.
I'm sure the airlines are very concerned with underage entitlement.
I know, but it should be
That's their number one.
There ought to be a law.
There ought to be a law.
Vince complains more about the nanny state than anyone else, yet now he's pushing legislation for... anyone who's over the
if
age,
I'm senator,
under age 18
the first bill I'm going to pass...
Hey, listen, when I'm president,
if the nanny state keeps from people from turning into huge entitled assholes, I'm all for those laws.
So if you were flying first class and you had a child, you would be okay with them going by themselves?
That's right. They sit in coach and you meet up afterwards. What's wrong with that?
All right. Well,
that doesn't even seem close to out of the realm.
I look forward to your arguments on the Senate floor.
Okay. All right.
My favorite line is
took a dump over there.
as part of his filibuster. Yeah. He's just squatting with his pants around his ankles. I'm still here!
Mr. Mancini, you've stopped speaking. This counselor.
At a minimum, you could lay just a monster death fart. Mm-hmm. You know, just eat like a big bowl of chili with onions.
Couple kale smoothies.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a kale shrimp smoothie.
Yeah, with a chili bowl. And then you just, you know, when you're done, you like basically clear out the room.
Oh, yeah.
What are they going to argue against?
No,
case
nothing.
Closed.
Just a lobster queso fundido with extra onions.
That's quite a meal.
Did you guys do mock Senate in high school?
No.
I didn't do it myself.
One guy who, like, I didn't really know very well. He wasn't like a friend or anything, but... I kind of wish he was after he did this, but he tried to filibuster. So he had run down to like the English department and he grabbed Ulysses by James Joyce and he just started reading Ulysses as a filibuster. And I was like, that guy's a fucking hero.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah. I think Strom Thurmond did that when he was filibustering the Civil Rights Act.
Did he?
I don't think it was Ulysses.
Strom Thurmond, also a hero.
Yeah.
Wait, no.
No.
I actually thought about it. Bobby Bigwheel tweeted about Strom Thurmond and it ruined my day for like half an hour. And I was just like, oh, I can't believe that is a real person who lived and had influence the most powerful nation in the world.
He was dead for his last 3 years, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Robert Byrd, I think, were both like in Congress into their late 90s.
Yeah, it was late 90s. And then I think by the end,
they had a wheel of fucking iron lung in there.
Yeah, I think they sort of Bernied him around at the end. Just to finish up, one of my favorite parts of Queen of Versailles is when they land after horrifically flying coach and, you know, commercial and surviving somehow. They show up, they rent a car, and she asks the rental car person, what's my driver's name?
Yeah, like, do you think that was a put-on? Because it's not
it
like
might
she,
have been.
She didn't grow up with all that money, so she wasn't, like, she couldn't be that stupid where she just totally forgot that you don't get a driver
maybe
with a rental car.
Well, if it was fake, I could see it being a little fake.
I mean, it just seemed like her trying to show off.
Yeah, her kind of. Right, that's her way of, like, this is how big time I am. Yeah. I've forgotten already what it's like to be normal. Like,
that's right, I don't get a driver.
Yeah, it's like her first semester study abroad, fake English accent sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that movie, see, it's funny because I don't know if it makes me retroactively like the movie less, but certainly one of the reasons I liked it was because it seemed like the guy was honestly trying to sort of come to terms with... just the sins of his past and sort of like
living beyond his means.
Living beyond his means. And basically, I mean, the whole world was living beyond its means
right
before. That was the reason for the financial crisis. And he was sort of like, you could see him sort of grappling with maybe it wasn't the right thing to do. Like, and even at one point he's talking about getting George W. Bush elected and he's like,
yeah, he claims that he did some shady shit to help get Bush elected.
He basically claims full on that he did illegal things to get him elected. And he's like, in retrospect, maybe not such a good thing.
I read what he claims that he did. And it's all similar to what he did with the more recent election with his employees. So he says he made sure that people that were registered Republican or something would vote, or if they were leaning towards Bush would vote, and that ones that weren't, he like didn't email them out or something. So because Florida was decided by 500 votes or whatever.
But that doesn't sound like illegal. He basically said it was illegal.
It's illegal if you own a company and you tell people what to vote for,
which is it's what he sounded like he did.
Yeah.
Who to vote for.
Sorry. And it also, you know, they also have a much larger sense of self-worth that
true,
I think they have in reality.
That was what I got. I was like, I think that's more talking about this guy's skewed sense of reality than any
sort
of.
It could
like,
be put a bunch of money in it, too. You never know when he's got that much money.
There could have been other stuff, but even... I enjoyed at the Planet Hollywood place that they owned, the like wall of fame was just the CEO and a bunch of celebrities. Like, and that's what they show off to potential timeshare owners.
With a bunch of famous people. Here's me parting on your money. Yeah. See how awesome this company is?
Look at how cool we are.
Yeah.
We take your money and we go party with politicians.
Wouldn't you feel like better about yourself if you had a hand in helping me meet Michael Irvin?
Look, you get to walk by this every day, and you know maybe someday there'll be a new picture of a celebrity you got to help me hang out with. You know,
here's me drinking blowjobs with Jose Canseco.
Look at that.
How good do you feel?
Now don't you want that one-bedroom annual penthouse?
The timeshare concept, because I sat through that presentation in Mexico, the whole thing is just depressing. Like, the whole idea behind why someone wants one and that's big business is just, I don't know. I just found it really depressing.
Well, I guess there's some scenarios where it might make sense.
It also made a lot more sense pre-internet.
It makes sense, but it's just sort of like, hey, do you work 48 days a year at some shitty job you hate? Come hang out at this resort where a bunch of other assholes just like you hang out for 2 weeks also.
Right.
You'll be next to the beach.
Well, I think it makes, like a lot of things, it makes a lot more sense pre-internet, especially pre-short-term apartment rentals.
Yeah.
You know, like Airbnb or VRBO and those sort of sites that work really well. Or even just, you know, the Travelocity Orbitz of the world where you can get cheap hotels and cheap flights. And it's not this big hassle. You know,
not that cheap, though.
Well, but you don't have to go through a travel agent. You don't have to do shit like that anymore. You don't have to, like, go through the white pages and call up individual hotels and ask their rate. You just do it all in one.
Actually, I take that back. It would have to be a really fucking good deal.
The timeshare?
Yeah.
It's not, though.
No, it's not.
They claim that it is.
That's what I'm saying.
Are you used to staying in a one-bedroom hotel? Here's a two-bedroom hotel that you could have for the same price, except you always have to pay for it, even if you don't use it. That sounds great.
You can only go to these resorts.
Yeah, which are full of fat kids from the Midwest swimming in the pool with their T-shirts on.
The Big Ten.
Yeah.
It's part of the Big Ten Network?
Well, no, I talked about that when I was in Mexico. We saw at least, I think it was every Big Ten except for maybe Northwestern, which is kind of funny because that's like the one really...
The smart
school
one.
In the Big Ten, but it was, we saw, and there was a little bit of Big 12 crossover as well. We saw
they're sort of similar.
Some 4XL Kansas KU shirts.
I don't think they make them in any other size.
Right. There was.
I think that you can get them special ordered in triple.
I think Iowa was the leader. I think Iowa was the fattest. But, oh, yes, Michigan, Ohio State. I mean,
shout out
to
Feckler, who got us all Iowa shirts.
He did.
This was awesome.
Yeah. There was, oh, man. I mean, just people who could barely walk. You're like, I don't know how you got down here.
There's a driver.
Several seats.
There's a driver and a pry bar involved.
Yeah. Poor guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, I would recommend it. Queen of Versailles.
Apparently going back to Cabo this year.
Apparently.
I'm going to Cancun.
Are you?
Yeah.
No, I said you're going to the Cancun. You remember that joke?
No.
It was an old OJ joke.
Did you write it?
No, I didn't write it.
I can extrapolate from the punchline.
Like every...
where that went.
Yeah, every good old boy would tell you going to the Cancun joke.
Lots of... that's a golf course joke.
Exactly. Yeah. Very much a golf course joke.
So both going to Mexico on separate trips.
Yeah,
where
are you going?
I'm going in April.
For a wedding?
I'll miss a frock cast.
Wedding or vacation?
Wedding.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't get vacations anymore. I only get bachelor parties and weddings.
Mm.
Well, that's because you work... 365, man.
That's true.
Movie news don't sleep.
Hey, that's right.
Who else is going to break comment section gerrymandering?
Yeah. Yeah, the Scott Steinerts.
Or maybe more ballot stuffing is the appropriate.
Yeah. Did you read that story today?
No.
I had mixed feelings about it. So, actually, I didn't. But basically, the story was there was this movie, Jane Got Her Gun, and the director... The director supposedly just pulled a no-show on the first day of shooting, and the only source covering this was Deadline, which is Nikki Fink's site, and it was the quote from the producer on the project who was like, "Yeah, man, she just didn't show up. Like, I don't know what kind of person would just pull a no-show on the first day of shooting like this," and blah blah blah. And so it was clear that like this producer had fed this story to Deadline, and he was the only source for it. And so everybody picked it up like, oh man, this asshole director, she just didn't show up for her movie. Like, what a fucking asshole. And then so, you know, when I wrote about it, I was like, take all of this with a grain of salt, because it's pretty clear there was more going on than just this chick not showing up. I'm sure there was like...
It sounded like this was leaked on purpose, essentially.
Yeah, well, there was that, and like Michael Fassbender was supposed to be in it, and he dropped out like a week ago, and then they replaced him, and they sort of reshuffled the cast. Like,
they replaced him with his own penis?
Yes, that's what they did. They just did a close-up of his penis. So everybody's playing different roles, and like I'm sure that's kind of hard to rethink all that, like,
especially
within a week.
Literally last second. I mean,
last second.
We're supposed to shoot today.
Yeah.
Shit, we're not.
So, yeah, there's all these stories, and all of them were coming from this producer guy. And with no no one's heard from the director. People actually reached out to her manager for comment, but her manager is the producer's daughter. And she was like, no, I'm sticking with my dad. I'm not representing her anymore, whatever. And so then today someone forwarded me this email that they got from that producer's assistant with the link to the Deadline story, being like, my boss is going to kill me if this doesn't get 40 positive comments. Like, everybody comment on this.
Comment on what?
The story about them replacing the story. Comment on the story that he fed to Deadline.
Ah.
Yeah.
This is a loom of destiny we're weaving right here.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just funny that
Vince is breaking the whole story open.
It's just funny that people care that much about that stupid of a thing. Like, I fully feel like there's a certain class of people that work in Hollywood that truly think that everyone in the world reads Deadline, and that's like the most important thing in the world.
Well, there's probably
they're called narcissistic psychopaths. Yeah, exactly. And Hollywood is chock full of them.
Exactly.
That's what I was gonna, I mean, you have to, a lot of people think that there's multiple layers. One, there's a lot of people that think the world that they live in is the most, whatever they're doing is the most important thing, regardless of what it actually is.
Yeah.
Whatever they're doing is the most important thing that exists on the planet. Two, whoever this person is, I'm sure has someone screaming at them, make the comments section of this post better.
Well, no, I know. That's the funny part, that that producer was actually cared about the comment section of a dumb website that who gives a shit about.
But yeah, but so yeah, whether
the most baller move is to kind of be like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, but they clearly care a lot,
right,
about this most minuscule.
I mean, it's not even a big movie.
I know. And
that's what's always weird to me is, I feel like a lot of people are like this, where whatever's 1 inch in front of their face is the, whatever's.
That's the world.
Yeah. Whatever is immediately surrounding them. And, I'm sure we all have friends or family that's like that, where whatever they're dealing with is the most fucking important thing that has ever existed. Yeah. And so if they're working on this movie, everyone's fucking talking about this. It's similar to the guy, the stupid road trip movie that got so butthurt when everyone said this movie's a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's his world. It's
Craig
like,
Mazin.
Yeah. How dare they tear down my, this is, everything I've worked on.
I think he had an understanding that wasn't the entire world, that was just whatever.
Maybe, but my point is more the amount that he got butthurt leads me to believe he doesn't necessarily view the entire world with the same amount of perspective.
Right.
That's all.
And then, so my hesitation was, I sort of knew posting that it might get the assistant in trouble, but at the same time, I feel like I can't really be responsible. If you're working for an asshole, I can't, I'm going to have to point out that dude's an asshole.
Isn't,
and
isn't that also not how journalism is supposed to work? Not what you're doing.
Also,
what they're doing. They're not really supposed to say, hey, comment positively on this thing, are they?
Well, I mean, it's a comment section is like whatever. I don't know what you call that.
Barter town.
Yeah.
Also, if she's at all resourceful, she's like, this is evidence that I've been working my ass off to.
Oh, I'm sure that's going to save her ass with that, with her megalomaniacal dick of a boss.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, it's not like if you work for an asshole.
If I'm that assistant and he still fires me, I'm going to the next person saying, I will go to the fucking mat for you and email my whole inbox.
Yeah, look what I did.
To AstroTurf your fucking comments.
So should I feel, I would feel bad if she got fired, but I don't know. I don't think that would change the way I did things.
No, it shouldn't. And I mean, it doesn't mean you can't feel a little bit of remorse or whatever. Yeah.
I don't want people to get fired because of something I did.
No.
I'd much rather write about
it. Of course you don't.
Especially when this is just a foot soldier.
But if something that stupid would get her fired, then what happens when she forgets to bring the Diet Coke in 2 weeks from now? Yeah. So.
And it was like, it sort of fell in my lap. It's like, I would have much rather written about another story where the deer wakes up in somebody's trunk and farts on
that
a guy.
That was excellent.
Yeah.
Now, my question.
I feel like no one likes Tommy Boy references as much as I do. But
we're getting old.
Yeah, I know.
My question to you is, are you saying this because people said something like that? Like
a couple. Hey, just like one or two people. But, it was sort of like one or people expressed the doubt that I already had that I sort of overruled for various reasons. Well, you know what I mean?
A, I think that anyone who is in that game knows what they're getting into. Mm-hmm. If you are an assistant to some... First of all, who the fuck is that producer? You're the assistant to a producer. No one who is outside of Hollywood can, like, name producers.
No.
So take away fucking Hollywood and the whole insular shit.
Well, that's the thing. Deadline's, like, the perfect storm of insular, like, Hollywood.
Oh, my God.
Like, gossiping.
So no one knows who the fuck this producer is. So it's right. Like... whatever. You know, if he wants to be a dick and fire her, then it's his problem, not hers.
That's the way I thought of it, you know?
They're getting pub for this movie.
That's true. They are, like, way more than they should be getting because of this.
I definitely would not have heard of this movie were it not for...
That's the other...
Woodward.
You might have. Natalie Portman and Jude Law was in it.
I mean, anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we would have literally heard of it at some point.
I would have watched it just because it's named after one of the songs from Aerosmith Pump.
Yeah. I don't know why you would name a serious movie about, with an unfortunate reference to something that already people already know.
What did her daddy do?
It took a little bitty baby.
Jane is last IOU.
She put a bullet in his brain.
Jane's got a gun. Boing. What's the, like, they have, like, a weird guitar riff or something?
Wow.
There's, like, a weird, yeah. It starts off with sort of a lower sound. Yeah, that's right. Did you do the original sounds for it?
Yeah.
He definitely does the yakakow, yakakakakow that Steven Tyler does in every song. It always goes to that place.
The best is the end of... Oh, it's Living on the Edge where it does like gaga wado ba 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 ba.
I always really, really liked the Adam Sandler. I think it was a fake infomercial for Aerosmith songs. And it was like crying
crazy amazing.
Crying crazy amazing crazy. And it just kept getting bigger. Yeah. I really liked that one.
And every video starred Alicia Silverstone.
Mm-hmm. I also like the old rockers that are 70, yet they still have at least 4,000 pieces of accessory.
Oh,
on
God.
Them.
Yeah, like, Steven Tyler was always the Johnny Depp of rock music.
Yep. And, you know, sort of the Keith Richards, too, where they just have jewelry on top of jewelry and, like, handkerchiefs.
Scarves.
Yeah, yeah. Scarves and handkerchiefs and makeup and, like, just painted nails and...
The whole nine.
Yeah. I mean, the whole 10, really.
Yeah. Well, you got to... If you create enough of those, people don't notice you aging because they'll just think of you as a collection of accessories.
Yeah. Yeah, Johnny Depp's... He's really bringing up... He's the next generation of that.
Yeah.
Where he's just got, like, pocket watches and...
Like, at least six pocket watches. Like,
he's got a Derringer in his pocket.
He's got a Derringer. I think he's got some medals from the Civil War.
Right. He's got a commemorative sword from the Battle of Bull Run.
He's got a corset.
He doesn't leave home without that sword. No.
He's got an ornate carved corset.
He carries a Bible in his breast pocket that has a musket ball lodged halfway through that saved him.
As well as a sheriff's... badge with the same thing.
Yep.
Sheriff's badge with a bullet from Wyatt Earp. Yeah.
They said when Janie was molested, they found him underneath the train.
I thought it was arrested.
Oh, it was arrested.
Yeah, because
but she got molested.
How could he be molesting her underneath the train? Like,
but
yeah.
That's right. Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, but she got molested.
She
that's
did.
Why I
yeah.
thought it was. Yeah. That's what it should have been.
What, molesting her underneath the train? Oh, what the movie should have been about?
You wouldn't really have to think about why he got thrown under the train.
Okay.
But then there was
a
gun,
too. No, they found
too.
Her underneath the train, I thought.
Oh, she was hiding underneath the train. There's a lot of ins and outs, a lot of what have yous. It's been a long time since I've seen this music video.
Yeah. Who was in that one? Do you remember?
I think this was pre-Aerosmith doing celebrity
cameos.
Yeah,
there was not a star. Okay.
Yeah.
I liked how the...
Oh, shit!
He blooped in on us.
Wow, he's blooping on in.
We didn't bloop in on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock blooped in on us.
Hello?
Hey.
What are you, stupid?
Yeah.
What took you so long? Were you in the subway?
Yeah. Eating pork chops.
What?
That's what they serve them now, Vince. Since you left, they changed.
Man, the subway is nice now.
They were like, well, now that he's gone, I guess we can start serving these pork chops up.
Yeah. And Brett from New York.
Hi.
Brett, we already talked about Queen of Versailles, so you missed that.
Oh, whew.
Yeah.
But Brett,
that is a shame. I have not talked about that movie twice on the Frogcast
before. We saw Stoker, and we already talked about that, too.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to have any spoilers for that one, so I guess everything worked out great.
But you're going to see that for next week, and we all are.
Yeah, I'm going to see it in California, where the movie theaters aren't ridden with bedbugs.
Wait, are you coming back here?
Yeah, for Mike's thing.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you were coming back for that.
Yeah.
I remember no bachelor
parties, just weddings, which is kind of the worst end of the getting old stick.
Yeah.
Wait, so all the movie theaters are riddled with bugs?
Yeah, if you go on to the bedbug registry, all the big hotspots are around movie theaters, which makes a lot of sense when you think about it, because
so you're legitimately not going to a movie because you're afraid of bedbugs?
Yeah, kind of.
Couldn't you get a hazmat suit or something?
Yeah, you could also freeze your clothes. That's really the only thing that kills them. Bedbugs are a shining example of human hubris in that we push them all the way to almost extinction, and then when they came back, they can't be killed by anything. So the last thing that kills them is freezing. So if you bring your clothes home and undress in the hallway and then put them in the freezer, there's a chance you won't get them crawling into your butt.
What if you froze your clothes before you went to the movie theater?
That would probably deter them, but I mean, shit, man, it's dark and there's 1,000 people and they're all breathing at the same time. That it's like they're heaven.
Look, man, I don't need to hear about your speed freak neuroses, okay?
he's like what's the Keanu Reeves animated movie?
Waking Life.
Yeah.
Scanner Darkly.
Yeah,
Scanner Darkly.
It's Brett
in
New York.
Brett, all right. So you have a choice of two things. You got here just in time to sit through some clips.
I choose pork chops.
Okay. You can choose.
Well, I wasn't done singing Janie's Got a Gun.
Okay.
Yet.
All right.
No,
go
I'm
ahead.
Just kidding. But...
Go ahead.
Hi. Awful.
All right. Brett, what do you want to listen to first? Do you want to hear the stand-up at the Improv, or do you want to hear Buck Angel interview?
We're hearing them both, so I just have to pick the order?
That's correct.
How has the tone been thus far on the podcast?
It's been good. I think we've been rolling along. We had stuff to talk about.
Was the Buck Angel interview as emotionally affecting as your review made it sound? Are you going to have to cry halfway through the interview?
No. The review was sort of, no, I don't think so. It was more just like mutual, like, hey, man, I've been reading your site. Hey, I liked your movie.
That sounds like fascinating listening. I'm glad we're going to have this.
It gets interesting. But that's just the way it starts off.
Let's do that one first.
Okay.
And then what was the other one?
Improv, yeah. Feel free to go ahead and turn on your video on your Skype there, would you?
It's on, isn't it?
No.
Oh. You just want to
He wants to stare into your eyes.
Well, that way, because the Buck Angel thing, we talk about some stuff in the movie that you might not, you probably wouldn't know what we're talking about if you don't.
I can see you.
Yeah. So...
How am I going to see your screen anyway?
Feel free
what's going to go on here?
Feel free to stop texting and just tell me, you know, if you're like, what are you guys talking about?
I'll raise a finger.
Yeah, go ahead and jump in.
I will.
All right.
Because I was.
Yes, I nervous.
I didn't raise a finger yet.
I laughed nervously a lot. I apologize.
Mostly Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter's awesome. It's so weird. Like everybody bashes it, but it's like
no
I feel
way,
like I've
dude.
Met.
I love Twitter. I met so many people from Twitter. I guess it really just depends on how you use it.
Yeah.
Oh, backstory on this. So Buck Angel again. If you guys didn't hear the last episode, he's a man with the pussy. That's his professional title.
So remind me, was he born sort of in between?
No.
He's born a woman.
Born a woman, yeah.
So, like the breast surgery to take the boobs away type thing?
He had that when he was like... He actually had that when he was in his 20s, like mid-20s, late-20s. And he was actually a like fashion model in his early... Like a female fashion model in his early 20s before he got the...
Interesting.
Yeah.
And then, so now taking hormones and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, taking hormones. So now he's like a pretty... I mean, like if you saw him on the street, you wouldn't like know that he was born a woman. He's like a shaved head dude that's pretty muscular with like a bunch of tattoos, and he's got like a
cell photo. It definitely looks like a dude.
Yeah, he's got like a red
guess,
and his whole persona is sort of like hyper masculine G.I. Joe sort of guy.
Pretty awesome that we have figured out how to literally change a man from a woman or a woman to a man.
Yeah,
like oh no,
you know what's mind blowing? two hormones do that all that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Except for just the organs. Yeah. All you need are one hormone or the other, and
But I mean, you introduce the hormones early enough, and you grow the organs. Like testosterone mm-hmm. is introduced, and that's the only thing that prevents us all from being women.
Yeah. No. If you have the chromosomes, but you have a hormonal disorder, then you go the other way. You can be an XY female, and yeah. Anywho. Here you go.
House of Cards, man.
Who are your friends, mm-hmm. right? Because I just fucking totally block assholes.
Yeah, me too. That way it feels so good, doesn't it?
Oh, totally. I love it. I'm like, asshole, block.
Yeah. So how did you, sorry to ask like a super self-involved question first, but so how did you first find out about Film Drunk, or were you surfing and found it?
Oh, no, it's cool that you asked that. Yeah. I actually was surfing when I was in the UK, in London. I was just kind of doing my Twitter thing. And then I saw someone retweeted one of your posts or something. I was like, that looks funny. So I clicked on the link, and it went to your site. Mm-hmm. And then I spent an hour on your site laughing, man. This, like,
that's awesome.
I'm like, who is this person? And then I started following you. And then I just think your site is awesome.
Oh, thanks. You I saw so that. And I was like, holy shit, Buck Angel. That's awesome.
No, but you're very witty and, like, just right on with so much stuff.
Oh,
like,
thank
this
you.
This is awesome. I love that.
Oh.
Like, little backstory on this. I knew who Buck Angel was because, like, in 2006, I want to say, there was an article in Rolling Stone about Lana Wachowski, the Wachowski brother that was transgender.
Used to be Ed or something.
Yeah, and Buck Angel was in that because his wife, I think wife at the time, was a dominatrix who had Larry Wachowski as a client. And as Larry Wachowski was sort of transitioning to gender reassignment, he basically ran off with that dominatrix and divorced his wife and married that one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of moving parts.
Exactly.
I talked a little bit about that on a previous podcast because I went to high school with one of the Wachowski's cousins.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And way before all this came out, he told us about it. And he was kind of one of those guys who were like, yeah, whatever, Keith. Yeah, and then it all came out.
Such a perfect name for that.
Yeah, yeah. That's not a pseudonym. He's Keith. And he would always like, you know, he kind of told outlandish stories. And you're always like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And then like it all came out later.
A lot of yeah guy stories.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, seriously. I'm serious, you guys.
Love really smart people, and
yeah, that was actually another question. Like, how were you not getting good grades in high school? Because you seem like really smart.
Thank you. Because I was told I was stupid. Mm-hmm. Because I wasn't focusing. Because I wasn't comfortable. Right. So mm-hmm. really, if you're not comfortable with yourself, you can't really focus on anything else.
Yeah.
Backstory on that was that he was like a good. He was like a competitive runner, and he was like winning all this stuff, but. His dad basically made it, told him he couldn't run anymore because his grades weren't good enough.
So mostly I was, you know, being teased a lot and fighting all the time, and I just wasn't focused on academics because I was trying to survive.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to survive being a little guy, but being a little girl.
Yeah.
So my focus was elsewhere.
It's crazy that I don't think people realize that that can take up so much of your time, that even when you're trying to do well in school.
No, because most people are just kind of just doing their thing. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So they don't realize it. They don't
yeah.
realize that being like, even though school is hard enough, right? Mm-hmm. But then when you have all those other things, like if you're gay or if you're trans, or people don't know it unless they have it.
Yeah.
The only thing that kept me in school, like I said, was physical education.
Yeah.
Because I excelled in sports, which makes total sense.
Yeah, were you doing some martial arts at one point?
No, I was totally a runner, dude. I was
okay.
So
there was just that one
amazing,
picture series in
yeah.
there.
Oh, yeah, that was for a photo shoot.
Okay.
When I was, like, starting to model.
Uh-huh. What's the line between wanting to be sort of the tip of the spear and helping educate people and not wanting to answer the same dumb questions over and over again?
No, it's not. I don't consider them dumb questions
yeah.
because your audience.
Well, not me.
I know, but
personally.
Of course, they're not dumb questions, but your audience mm-hmm. is different than their audience,
right.
is different than their audience. So for me, it's not ever do I get a dumb question
mm-hmm.
because I don't know who's reading or seeing or talking. You might know who Buck Angel is, but
mm-hmm.
many other people out in the world
yeah.
still don't know who Buck Angel is, so it might be the same question. But for me, it doesn't feel like the same question.
Not even from Tyra? That seems like...
Is he doing any sort of promotional stuff, charity stuff? What
he's doing, like he's moving. He gets into that, but he's sort of like he speaks at a lot of colleges and he does sort of talk shows and stuff. And he's starting. He's gotten to the point where he's sort of making as much on speaking as he's making on as he was making on like producing porn and stuff.
So it's about sort of transgender, gay sort of education to people that might not know much about it, or.
But that's sort of the. I mean, that's sort of the whole thing of the movie, which is what I really liked about it. Is
I didn't even realize he had a movie out there.
Yeah, it's a documentary about him and sort of some of the speaking things it does, and that's what I liked about it. Was like he's not. He doesn't go and like try to explain like every, like the biology and all the different. You know, LGBT, whatever, how many fucking letters there are now. But
LGBTA.
Yeah. So he just sort of explains who he is and, you know, tells his own story. And it's like, and he's like an articulate, sort of interesting guy that speaks. And so you just sort of come away with a better understanding just because you've met like a person who's like, a real person. Pretty simple.
Some dumb questions.
I was expecting different when you're expecting it. You know what I mean? You're just like, and plus shoot.
So you went on Tyra and it was like, you know, you've seen Tyra before.
I think she is the worst.
Oh, yeah. And she's just like mugging for the camera being like, and he was born with a vagina.
Wait for it. And women, you're going to see him. And he still looks like a man, but he has a vagina.
Yeah, and she just keeps saying the same dumb thing over and over again.
I can't stand her.
I imagine all of Tyra's social circle to be like the Skeksis from The Dark Crystal, where they're just high-pitched giggling and eating live creatures and then like clapping like all foppishly like,
you are the most authentic.
Just they also do the thing where they're like, blah, and then they like share the... The energy with each other. Yeah.
He's telling her how awesome she is all the time with her.
The only thing that keeps her alive is just the souls of the people strapped into the chair.
Oh, God. She is the worst.
She was actually really cool.
Was she?
Yeah, yeah. She's extremely smart. Mm-hmm. Very focused. Yes, she is. I'm going to tell you. The dumb stuff she plays, it's play. Mm-hmm. Same with Howard Stern.
Yeah.
He plays that bullshit.
I've never thought Howard Stern was dumb.
But, you know, he does that stupid kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but that's just not really him in real life.
Yeah.
Like same with her. Mm-hmm. Off camera, she was just, like, fucking smart, like, on, like, mm-hmm. And, you know, that show was really good for me. As much as I was pissed off about being duped for that show, the show was amazing for me. I used it as a platform. And I reached so many more people out there.
Yeah, I was watching that thinking, man, if you can explain something to Tyra, you can explain it to anybody.
But it's fascinating to me that she would leave herself in there going, no, I don't really love my vagina.
Yeah.
Like, what a crazy thing for a woman
funny.
To
She's
say.
Like, it's all right.
It's all right. She got all ghetto, right? It's
that was
all right.
Really funny. Oh, when you're doing media, like, what's the line between, you know, wanting to get the word out and do anything and not wanting to... You know, like be part of a show where it's like called
being
oddity.
Sensationalized.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a hard one to answer because I am going to be sensational or an oddity. I am. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like Tyra, for example, or Howard Stern, clearly look at me like an oddity.
Yeah.
But for myself, I know I'm going to go on there and flip it because I'm really good at doing that. Because people will all of a sudden think they're going to get this one thing, but then they get this dude who like full on has focus. I know who I am. I know, and that changes the way people all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I leave those shows like. Well, I blew Howard Stern away. You know what I mean? I blew Tyra away because they were going to get... So for me, it's like I completely understand that they think I'm an oddity. I completely understand that my dad thinks I'm an oddity. But at this point, now I don't think he thinks of me that way anymore.
Yeah.
Because I've literally shown them that what does that mean to be an oddity? You know what I mean? I don't really even know what that means anymore.
I think that's... I mean, that's kind of why I thought you did a good job with that review is that he's sort of a normalizing factor.
Mm-hmm.
In that he seems so relatable that there's not this weird fence that you have to approach, like maybe it's electric, you don't know if you're gonna get shocked. It's just sort of like, hey, why don't you come in, have some lemonade, sit down on my couch and we'll chat, and things might be weird at first, but in 5 minutes you're gonna forget that there was ever that doorway in the first place.
Yeah, that's exactly what I liked about it, because I feel like everything now is just some stupid door into this dumb culture war that hasn't changed since like the 60s, and it's like...
Are you talking about the war on Christmas? Because that's real.
Yeah. So it's like when you get something that's not where they're not like taking a fucking, I'm drawing a line in the sand and I'm going to stab everyone on the other side. It's just like, hey, look, here's me. Here I am. Now we can sort of try and agree on some certain things and not just scream at each other.
Although he seems definitely for a good voice for the transgender world.
Mm-hmm.
But you also are a much easier person for him. Not necessarily easier, sure. But a more understanding, I guess.
I am. But with him, it's easier. Like if he was just some shrill sort of outrage merchant, people would be more understandable in like, well, I don't like that guy. But because he's so personable and so just easy to talk to and sort of articulate and easy to empathize with, it's easy to draw a line where it's like, well, if someone hates that guy, they're obviously an asshole.
Yes, agreed.
Did you see the a couple months ago a study came out about Latino voters and the acceptance of gay people in general?
Mm-mm.
And universally the given response as to why your views might have shifted. So their views shifted significantly, like
from anti-gay to accepting.
Yeah, and it was almost all like media portrayal, and everyone that was like polled was like, "Look, I don't have a lot of gay friends." And just sort of seeing that shit out there more often,
mm-hmm.
was like, oh, well, I mean, I guess I can relate to that in that scenario. Like, it's all context based.
Yeah.
Like, you can't relate to an abstract thing.
Exactly.
But the moment you're like, oh, shit, they're having a hard time adopting, or like you suddenly connect.
Yeah.
Then you realize that there's not a huge gap between. And then suddenly you're like, oh, well, shit, all the stuff I think. All the negative stuff I had thought about them suddenly seems much more petty than just identifying with another human being struggling.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Buck actually lives in Mexico, which is another interesting part of this.
Where in Mexico?
I don't know. I didn't ask because I think he's sort of like,
I'm always curious where the sort of expat world lives
in
Mexico.
And he says he's like never had any trouble in Mexico. Like he had to explain his situation to like his housekeeper and, you know, when he's going into the doctor and he's like, yeah. They don't even look at me funny. They're just like, all right, well, whatever.
Well, and I do think there's going to be people that are never going to accept no matter what. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be people that are cool with it. And there's going to be people that, you know, probably the majority of people, once they get to know someone, are fine with it. But might be a weirded out at first type thing.
Yeah.
But that's the sort of like the getting to know someone is the most important step in that, where whether or not you actually know them or whether they're just personable in the media. Like you need that first step into being like, oh, I can relate to this person as a human being first, and then as a different person second.
Well, there was a real sports last night. I still watch it regularly because I need my media.
Oh yeah, there was a transgender person on.
Yeah, and there was a transgender basketball player at like a community college, and she was also like 50 years old. It was kind of funny.
But she was really tall, right?
Yeah, I mean she's 6'6". Yeah.
For a women community college. She looked much taller than all the other players.
Well, they also went out of the way to say that one of the players on the JC team was 4'9", which is kind of funny.
Wow.
But it was sort of the same thing where initially her parents like flipped out because they just couldn't comprehend it. And then she reunited with them after I think it was 20 years or something like that, or maybe even a little bit less, but you know, fairly decent chunk of time. And they were just so loving and happy, and it was almost like they just had some time to process it and normalize
it. Wrap their mind around it.
Right.
And I do think there is a generational thing, too, especially, I mean, there's also areas of our country that are much less accepting than probably the people that we know on a day-to-day. Because we also in California or, New York or a lot of the country grew up with a lot more, where I could see there's areas of the country where it's like, they've never met a Jewish person, so they think they are these horned devils that like roam the earth.
But then you meet one and you figure it out, and you're like, oh, okay.
You're like, all right, all I have to do is make sure my wallet is in the front pocket.
Yeah. He's just an ear rapist.
Yeah. Don't have any gold coins out in the open. But it makes it a lot easier if you haven't. It makes it a lot easier to dislike or have some weird prejudice if you have, like Brett said, if you have no true human context.
Yeah.
It's like they're not even a real thing.
Yeah, they're just a concept.
How do you take, because I think when, you know, people like me, we learn like, the boring like human sexuality classes in like college, and then just like going through like here's like the 12 different labels for different types of gender identity. Like, how do you make people just like sort of see people instead of like, because I feel like just making people learn a bunch of boring labels is not really that
helpful. It's not real.
Yeah.
And it's not real. I think me physically being there, like I started now talking at tons of universities.
Yeah.
And so I get to go talk to these kids and then they see me, right? Kids, because I'm old. And they see me and then they're like, oh, and I get to explain to them what does make a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to use that phrase of deprogram yourself because it really, it resonates with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Really, if you think about it just for a second, you're right. I've been programmed. Through media, through growing up, through doctors, through everything. Like, mm-hmm. this is how you have to be, and whatever that means, right? So I think when they get to actually see me physically there, like, he's totally a dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I totally get it. Like, it somehow, it, like, totally clicks with them, and they're like, yeah. right. That doesn't...
I mean, it was like that for me, for sure. Like, I didn't, you know...
Well, I hope he's also changing people's minds that being gay is some pure choice. That you're like this evil person,
mm-hmm.
you know, lesbian, gay, whatever. Where it's like, look, people are born a little different. It's not everybody. You know, there's going to be a small percentage of people. Just like there's a small percentage of people that are 7 feet tall, or a small percentage of midgets. It's like
yeah.
you chose to be a little person. How dare you? You need to be. You need to be saved. You need to go to a little person.
I really wanted to get into tunnels.
I always wanted to. You know, roll around in the dryer.
I wanted to wipe my butt with a toilet paper on the end of a little stick.
I thought a Q-tip would work.
Once you meet someone who's like, it's like just meeting
yes.
people is so much more important than
it totally is.
Yeah.
Than like saying that that person is weird.
Yeah. Or even learning about it in like an open way where they're like, you know, where they're trying to be so liberal and open-minded, but you're still sort of like. Putting different labels on everything, and it's sort of, I don't know.
Because we're programmed to do that.
Yeah.
Everything needs a label.
Mm-hmm.
What is your sexuality? What is your gender? You know what I mean? What is that? Like, it's just amazing how many things, and even the LGBTQIA, right? Like, they keep adding
yeah.
labels.
Like, how many different fucking letters do I
it's
have to learn?
It's incredible, you know? To me. And no disrespect to that community. It's just ridiculous.
Like, I get what they're trying to do, you know.
But they're messing it up.
Yeah.
Like, forget the labels. Like, just, like, why can't we just be, like, people? You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, I know I label myself as a man, but obviously I'm not what a man has, what the world and society has
yeah.
labeled as a man.
Being you first
yeah,
and
you.
Then whatever.
Yeah.
yeah. Like, I write about, obviously you've read my site, I write about movies. I also sort of try to write about porn to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
Like for you, what's the line? Because I have the same problem. What's the line between trying to like destigmatize porn
mm-hmm.
and not have it keep you from like reaching a,
yeah,
a
that's a
audience that's closed
question.
Off to it,
especially in the United States.
Yeah.
I think when, well, for example, what I did is I really sort of relabeled my porn as educational,
mm-hmm.
which I do think porn is educational
right, yeah.
in a way. Mine specifically because I really am doing like docu-porn style with my sexing with trans man
mm-hmm.
stuff. So like interviews and then doing sex scenes. So it's
yeah.
sort of like bringing sort of like a reality.
Have you seen any of his stuff?
I have not, but I actually, I mean, I would watch the female or the male to female transgender having sex with the
with
female
him.
To male transgender. Like that's just sort of, that's all, I mean, that's like art.
It's really like a monument to modern engineering.
yeah.
It's more...
It's interesting. Yeah. I don't have to get off to it, but,
yeah.
you know, I'm curious to watch it.
Yeah, I was just asking if you'd seen any of his,
no.
any of his work.
No, because usually when I watch porn, I'm looking to get off.
I'm a bit of a porn prude, so I don't know. Yeah. But I'd still be like wow.
Yeah.
I
for sure.
To the people in porn is not
well,
just
and
like
it'd be someone like me could watch it and not necessarily to
get
off
turned
like,
off
I, yeah.
on. Yes, exactly.
I'm just watching it because it's
and I do have a lot of guys like you
yeah.
who write me and say, dude, I saw that film, it was awesome. It's not, I didn't get turned on by it at all, but
does
it was
that
really
offend,
fucking,
does it offend
right,
you at
right.
all?
Yeah, it's, no, for me, no way. I don't expect that's the thing is I just want you to watch it.
Yeah.
I don't expect you to get turned on by it. If you do, great. If you don't, great too. But the fact that you took the time to watch it means that you like thought about it
mm-hmm.
in a way. Because people don't do that with all porn.
Yeah.
Something has to want to make you watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And so especially if you're not going to be turned on by it, that's a huge compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so.
So that's
too.
A hard thing to do is to is to sort of get the porn out of the porn, like Dan Savage said, right?
Yeah.
Like, you watch it, but then you, like, talk shit about it afterward. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you got a prostitute, and then you fucked her, and then you, like, kicked her out the door, and you said,
yeah.
You dirty fucking, right?
Yeah, no.
And you just used her.
Yeah. No, like, I've written about, like, the woman who was a teacher that was an ex-porn star that
right.
got fired, and I'm
right.
just like, and I'm trying to write about it, like, are you guys not seeing the hypocrisy of,
they
like,
don't.
Jerking off to porn and then firing her? And they totally don't.
No,
and
they totally
so
don't.
Much resistance.
That's why what you're doing is so important. You know what I mean? You can reach a lot of guys. No,
in a
seriously.
Very small way, but yeah.
It doesn't matter how small it is. I started very, very small. You know
yeah.
that? I started very small. If you continue to push that and those guys... I don't know what your readership is. Is it
I mean, it's
straight
a lot of
guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of straight guys.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, that's
sure.
fucking awesome, dude. That
yeah.
means you can.
Except for Brendan.
Oh,
to the face.
You got
keep
me.
Saying, look, dude, you should stop disrespecting sect. It's awesome that you want to use them because
yeah.
it's great stuff. But don't disrespect. They're human beings too,
yeah.
and they're giving you a service that you might not necessarily get.
Yeah.
So I think it's what you're doing is super important.
Well,
don't
feel
that.
I feel dumb hearing that from you.
No,
but,
I'm
yeah.
telling you, it is very important. Don't, even if yeah. your readership is only five straight guys, those five straight guys will go to other five straight guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's charitable at best.
It's more than five straight guys, for the record.
It's just like eight
any,
to nine.
If any advertisers are listening, it's you know, it's a lot more than that.
It's like it's all it's actually it's all guys wearing Dockers and denim shirts. They part their hair on the left
they're
side.
All, I mean, our research tells us they're all between the ages of 18 and 45. They have a lot of disposable income.
Here's the interesting thing, though. All of them masturbate to pictures of mayonnaise. Like, in the jar. Mm-hmm. Like, not...
Yeah, they're very vanilla with their porno.
Blah, 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 blah. And you can help to change the way they think about that.
Yeah. So, like, what's it been like? Is it hard just traveling back and forth from Mexico now that you live there? Or is it just
no, because I don't do it like... I mean, it is. I'm not going
to... At least you're not that far away here, but...
Yeah, and it's not... It's part of my work. Mm. But I get to go home to my awesome place and, you know, decompress for a couple weeks and
yeah.
get back on the road again.
Is it just easier to have... does having more anonymity there, is that...
Yes, it's
that
great.
Yeah.
I love it. But it's becoming... I'm becoming more known there. Like, mm-hmm. we'll go walking in Costco and... Are you Buck Angel?
Was he... recognized there? Because I wouldn't know what he looks like.
I think he's sort of explaining that here.
I'm like, oh no, honey, we're totally getting known here. Even her, people notice her all the time.
Yeah. Are you getting paid for the speaking engagements? Or are you just
oh yeah,
doing,
okay. No, it's not now my profession for
yeah.
sure. It's sort of like, you know, I'm now a speaker.
That's
I get
great.
Paid and I make my living more. I think I make a lot. Not a lot more, but I make more speaking than I do on my porn work,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of weird, actually, but yeah.
Are there schools that are, like, resistant because of
yes,
the porn thing?
Yes, clearly. More in the United States than I get booked a lot in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. Like, all these universities are starting. But I think with that, the more United in the United States, more universities are starting to be interested in it.
Yeah.
So that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there anything... like, what did you think of the movie? Did you like
it?
I
loved
it. Was there anything
this
that
is the
you
second
wanted to
time
see
I
in
saw
it,
it
that you didn't see in it? Or?
Let's see. What was I thinking? I think he hit everything that you... I think it's the perfect length.
Yeah.
I'm always scared that people are going to get bored.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can't get bored. We've all gotten bored.
Oh, God.
Documentaries are hard.
It's got to be weird, especially with documentaries, because... I mean, the person making documentaries trying to find a story angle.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you as a speaker have more of a story angle than someone that's just more of a subject in a documentary.
Yeah.
And like making sure those two things mesh has to be kind of a awkward line to walk.
Yeah, for sure. Because I mean, it's like what we always talk about with real sports. It's like if they come in there and they're sort of honestly looking to see what the story angle that someone gives them. Then that's great, but most of the time they go in there and they already have their idea of what the story angle is going to be,
and
they
all
just
they
sort
do
of
is hammer it.
Yeah,
home.
They just
and
hammer
shoehorn it
and just shove it in yeah. there, and they don't care if it fits or what.
They're like, we interviewed so and so for this story, but we decided not to include any footage because they totally disagreed with us.
Yeah. Oh, my favorite when we were talking about 30 for 30 earlier. I don't know if you saw the one where it was Singleton and he was doing the Marion Jones one, where it was like. He just talked to Marion Jones, and it was like him videotaping their conversation. There was like no perspective or nothing at all. I was like, ah, all right, neat. It's a neat documentary.
I took a good real sports clip. I don't know if we're done with this.
No, we got like a minute left.
Oh, I emailed you a good real sports clip that I think we should listen to. It's good old Bernie.
Perfect.
Bernie, he's...
It sucks when you come here and you meet people and they're like the nicest people ever.
And
then
their movie sucks.
And their movie's terrible. And you're like, totally. Oh, God.
I know. I it's like my biggest paranoia. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, are you going to hate my film?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't do that film, obviously. But, but I think that's the hardest thing about really making, especially a documentary, is really keeping that. And I think he did it. I don't know. What did you think?
I loved it. I thought it was great. Awesome. I actually think it's easier in a documentary because I feel like... Well, for me, because I don't know, I feel like my time is not wasted if I'm seeing information, and, like, things that are something new in the world. But if I'm just seeing you and you're like jack off mumblecore buddies, like,
totally. Like, that's boring. True, too. For 2 hours. Yeah. You're like, I just sat in there for 2 hours. I'm going to kill myself.
Some rich
Brad
kid too
Pitt
much
movie.
Camera equipment.
Do you know that Brad Pitt movie that he did that was all woo? What was it called? The Tree of Life?
Oh, I never saw it.
Oh, don't bother.
Yes, all right.
Wait. Why was Tree of Life all woo? I never saw it either.
Don't bother.
I've seen him, Terrence Malick.
It was disappointing.
Before,
it was so disappointing.
What were your favorite movies that you saw this year?
Oh, what was... God,
I think it was just basically that the disappointing part was that it was a Terrence Malick movie, and, you know, it was probably long and ponderous and didn't really have that much of a point.
Hands Through Grain?
Yeah, Hands Through Grain. A slow breeze blowing. What the hell, Brendan? Why isn't this clip coming up?
Give, give it a second. We did
it
get
it. Working.
Brett specifically got an email.
Oh, go for
titled
it.
Titled Brett's Yahoo Answers. Brett, I just listened to last week's broadcast, so if someone already brought this up, disregard it. No one did. For your Yahoo Answers segment, you're on the right track with the sex question, but I think you will also need to add an STD-related angle, which adds another layer of people talking about shit they know nothing about and Rube's sharing way too much info on the internet.
That's a good idea.
Or just put up a lot of questions about skunk dills.
Equally good.
And that's from Dave.
That is a callback and a half.
That's from Dave. But yeah, it does add another layer if you're asking sex. Does the baby come from AIDS when, or, I don't know. You can get another layer in there.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like men talking about women's issues gives you the same sort of angle where can you get pregnant from a watch?
Or can you get an STD from something that's ridiculous?
Or they leave the whatever their train of logic might have been, perverse as it is, they leave the important part out where it's like, I went skydiving and now maybe herpes! !
The third exclamation point that really hammers it home.
Yeah, they got to drive it home, so you know, frowny face.
Get it? Try that out, Brett. See how the internet's doing.
It's almost a logical extension of I accidentally a whole Coke bottle.
Yeah. It's the.
It's really starting
all the
to itch.
Rars, all the rars.
Yeah, I accidentally 93 megs of rar. Is this bad?
Did you find the clip?
I have. I'm just having a really hard time saving it. Here.
Well,
I suppose I could play it off my phone into the mic.
Let's do that.
All right, that might be bad.
So I was watching Real Sports last night, and our favorite guy, Bernie, was on, just being such a troll. And he actually interviewed Mike Tyson, which was excellent. He was such like Bernie in his element of just being kind of to borrow a term from Drew, kind of a haughty dipshit, you know, just this extremely enlightened and educated sports reporter.
But it's like he's playing the role of the haughty dipshit even more so than being.
Yeah, but sort of like almost this guy who is so out of touch. He's thinking that this is what he needs to do to connect with someone who is not white.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like they're just like, oh, well, I'm just going to try to. Bust his stones a little bit, you know, like that kind of thing. And it sort of backfires on him, and it's just it's beautiful.
Are you a thespian?
I don't know about that.
I'm not talking about your sexuality right now. I'm talking about thespian being an actor. Do you have a
thespian is named after an actor, the one that acted in a war named Thespa in ancient times.
That is the verbal equivalent of hitting me right on the jaw and flattening me. That was a nice shot.
That's a good question.
Mike Tyson just, and he just looks like he's about to, like, just pick him up over his head and slam him into the ground. He's like, actually, it's from an ancient actor named Thespa.
Bernie he's also like, has a look.
Yeah, no, just give him this shitty look. Are you a thespian? I'm not talking about your sexuality, you know? Like, you can tell Mike Tyson's like, I will whip your head off.
But Bernie's got that sort of weaselly look with...
He sort of squints at you.
Yeah. This
Bernie is... He is the guy who miraculously went through his life without ever getting his ass kicked.
Multiple times.
Well, it just... He never got that one lesson.
Yeah.
He never got that one lesson.
Or now, maybe it's too late because no one's going to beat up an old man.
Right, right. Yeah. It's too late.
I will beat up an old man.
Thank you, Brett.
I could see you doing that.
Well, you are in New York. I think that's where they film Real Sports. So
yeah,
tell me where he's at.
So
you wanted to tell a story?
I did. Yeah. If so you guys will
indulge you,
yeah.
Do you want us to humor you or indulge you?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
He wants us to indulge him.
Yeah.
Okay.
You
Let's
got me.
Indulge him.
You old peckerwood. You know just what I like.
Son of a biscuit.
So I was in South by for 10 days, 9 days. Way too long than you want to be there, basically. I didn't really know how the thing was structured going in
what my home flight was, so I just sort of stayed.
Yeah. I just looked at the dates and it doesn't really say on the website like, oh, this weekend is for film and this part is for music, so I stayed for like the main chunk in the middle instead of, you know, focus on one of the sections. So I was there for a really long time. So finally I come home 2 nights ago. My direct flight from Austin to San Francisco, it's like 4.5 hours, whatever. And take the BART. I gotta get to the airport and then take the BART in and then take a cab. I finally get to my apartment. It's like it's 26-hour day or 27-hour day because of the time change. And it's like 11 o'clock and I get in, and before I left, I had left my key on the top of the door frame for the maintenance guy because he was going to go install my mini blinds. And
you can't live without mini blinds.
Yeah. Well, actually I can't because, you know, I have one main room of my apartment. It's like a big studio with a giant window that faces directly on someone else's kitchen window. So if like I wanted to jerk off, I would have had to like go into my walk-in closet.
What about your room divider?
Yeah, no.
You have a room divider.
No, I used it as a bookshelf. Yeah, I should have used it as
a
room divider.
To divide the room.
Also, I broke it jerking off.
Yeah. So
I get crazy, guys.
Yeah, so he installed my blinds, and I come home expecting to find my key to my apartment on my door frame, and it's not there. And I knock on my apartment manager's door, and he's not there. And I call my landlord, and his phone is not picking up. I found out later, this is me time traveling to the future in the story, that my apartment manager, or my landlord, is too short to reach the top of the door frame, so he put it underneath the fire extinguisher, and he meant to email me about it and just forgot to email me about it.
Oh, where my actual... you know what? I did have something else to do,
yeah,
and it was going to... I was going
to
email
you. Tell you how to get into your own apartment. Yeah. I meant to do that,
you
and
know,
I didn't.
That was on my to-dos,
yeah,
and I didn't. Whoops, my bad.
So, you know, needless to say, my life's already sort of in flux right now. I just sort of moved into a new place. I haven't even fully moved in. I was in Texas for a week.
Regardless of if you live there for fucking 10 years, you just want to get into your fucking home.
It's been a long, long slog, and I want to sleep in my own bed for the first time in a week.
The last thing you want... after you've traveled for so long is to have any more hiccups along the way,
yeah,
where it's like, all right, fuck, BART, mm-hmm, all right. And for those of you who don't know, that's the basically the monorail system. So you take a taxi, you get home, sweet, I'm home. Fuck, I can't even go inside.
Boy, was it ever a hiccup. So I'm trying to talk to my maintenance guy who's super Chinese, just like the most Chinese man ever.
He actually lives in China.
I think I talked about him on the last show, but... So he's like, I don't know. I don't go. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. I don't know. He's supposed to have my key. Yeah, he's supposed to leave it here. I'm confused. He's the only one I can get a hold of.
This is over text?
This is, I called him. And then I had my and my ex-girlfriend stayed there for a few days while I was gone before she moved away. And she was like, she was supposed to leave keys there too, but she slid them under the locked door. So there's like this back and forth between me and the maintenance guy and me and my ex-girlfriend trying to figure out where one of the two sets of keys that I left.
So you can get the fuck so into your apartment.
Get into my apartment. And everyone's gone. Also, it's raining. And so then I'm like, all right, well, there's a fire escape that goes up to my fire. There's three windows on the fire escape. So I'm thinking maybe if I can get up the fire escape, I can get into one of my windows. Maybe, long shot. And, you know, it's got the thing where, you know, fire escapes don't go all the way down to the ground because otherwise people would just climb up them and break your window and climb in your apartment. So I have to figure out how to get up to this this ladder that's folded up to the fire escape.
The levitating ladder.
Yeah, exactly. So, and there's like a bracket of it that's holding the ladder on, like right above the garage, and it's about like 10 and a half feet off the ground, maybe, you know, like 10 feet off the ground, because I can jump and I can touch it, but I can't quite like grab it, you know?
So that means you can jump and grab a rim.
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Explosive.
So, yeah. Well, maybe. I used to be able to grab it. Now I can probably just sort of get my like top two knuckles around it. Anyway, so it's a little over 10 feet, and I have my hoodie, and, you know, thinking smart, I throw one sleeve of the hoodie over the bracket, and I do sort of like a towel pull-up on my sweatshirt. And I pull myself up and, you know, like I said, it's raining. Like the brackets are wet and I'm 10.5 feet above the concrete. And now I have to like scamper over the garage roof with three apartment windows on either side that look directly onto this roof in San Francisco. So I'm already like, oh, fuck. I'm trying to be super quiet because
I'm a ninja. No one can see me.
I got to be super quiet because I don't know what they're going to do. And so I get up to I go up the fire escape to my room, and the windows are locked. I knew they would be. I'm sort of trying to do the credit card sort of thing, and nothing's really working, and I don't want to stay up there too long because obviously I look like a guy who's trying to break into a house, like in the really lily white part of San Francisco where people would freak out about that sort of thing. So I climb back down. I go down across the garage again, and now I'm looking down at that same ladder that I climbed up to get there, and I'm like, I don't really want to just jump straight down to the concrete because that's really the only option. So I'm like, all right, well, maybe I'll just unhinge this ladder. Maybe I'll just unextend.
Ride the ladder down.
I'll unextend this ladder, and I'll climb the ladder down like it's meant to be used, you know? So I go to do that, and it's like a pulley crank system that sort of that
it has probably literally never been uncranked.
Never been uncranked, I'm sure, since like the 30s. So I pull the little tab out and I start to uncrank it, and like immediately I'm like, this is the loudest thing in the world. And it's now like 11:15. Not like super late, but late enough.
Late enough.
Late enough. And so I like try to crank it back up as quickly as I can so I can jump down. And before I can, I hear like a commotion in the window that's maybe like 10 feet to my right off my 3 o'clock. And I hear, oh my God, oh my God. And then the blinds shoot up because someone just like yanked their blinds open. And it's and then there's this chick there and she's like, oh my God, there's a guy out there. I'm like, oh fuck. And then I start like yelling through the window. It's okay.
I live here.
It's okay. I live here. It's okay. I live here. And then there's a dude in there with her and he's like, and he's just like scrambling around, probably woke him up out of a sleep. And he's just like, on full on just fight or flight in the midst of not even awake yet sort of thing. So they're running around the apartment. And so I'm like, oh, fuck, oh, fuck. And, you know, I just jump straight down to the concrete like I was hesitant to do in the first place. And
that's a pretty good leap.
Way to make yourself look not further yeah, suspicious.
Yeah. I hit the ground and I'm like, okay, I got two choices. I can just bolt for it, which really makes me look guilty. And if they've already called the cops, I don't know, I might have to like lie down in the street while they aim their guns at me. Or I can use my key to the apartment complex to prove that, look, I have a key to the complex. I actually do live here. Like, let's all just settle down, you know? Let's all just take a step back. And so I picked the second one, wrongly again, as it would turn out. So I open the door and I come in and I'm just like, hey, I live here. And they're sort of cowering at the top of the the first half flight of stairs. And I'm like, all right, chill out. I live here. And, you know, they're like full on freaking out.
You also moved there recently, so it's not like you've been there for years and they recognize it. Yeah.
They have no idea who I am. Also, I've been traveling for the last 6 hours and I'm wearing like a white undershirt that's probably like stained black from me climbing up on the roof.
You probably smell awesome.
I smell awesome. I've had a hat on all day, so I'm like totally unkempt and unshaven, like just looking like shit. And I'm like, all right, I live here. Just relax. And the girl, she's like, oh, okay. He lives here. Like she, like that actually, that explanation.
It worked
on her. But her boyfriend.
No, not so much.
And he's just like fucking full on screaming at me. Like, what the fuck? I'm like, I live here. Who are you? I don't know who you are. And he just keeps saying what the fuck over and over, and I'm trying to explain. I'm like, I live here. They're supposed to leave the key out, but they didn't. And that story comes out really convoluted when you're both on.
And you're probably a little out of breath.
Running on nothing but fumes and adrenaline. And he just keeps screaming at me, and I just keep. And he's just being an asshole, but I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's like shaking, and I can tell he's just completely reacting out of fear and reptilian brain. And this guy's going to be my neighbor for the next God knows how long. So that's awesome. And
you should try to break into their apartment sometime.
Yeah. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm sorry. And he's just yelling at me. And I'm like, you know, I was locked out. I'm sorry. Like, imagine if you were locked down. He's like, I'd stay at a hotel. I'm like, all right, money bags. Thanks for that. Helpful.
I'd rent another place.
Yeah, I'd stay on my boat.
I'd rather have 300 apartments than possibly get my hands dirty on a fire escape.
Yeah, so he's just being a total dick. And keep in mind, this guy's also...
Also, I don't live here. This is my girlfriend's place.
Right. Yeah. This guy's probably like a head shorter than me and 50 pounds lighter. So if shit gets physical, there's like a 0.0 chance that this guy's not going to get his ass kicked. But he's still just like screaming at me. And I'm being as nice as I can possibly be because... You know, I understand. I empathize. And
shitty situation for everybody.
Exactly. So I'm like, all right, just relax. And then he just keeps staring at me. Like, we both stop talking, and he just stands there at the top of the stairs staring at me for, not exaggerating, like 30 to 40 seconds of just staring at me angrily and shaking and in his bathrobe, holding his phone in one hand. And I'm just like, hey, man, I don't know what you want to do here. And he's like, you're making this really hard for me. Like, I don't
hard
know.
Hard for you to do what?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm making hard for you to not
you
call
just
the cops.
Back at him. You're making it hard for me. Yeah.
Sexually.
Yeah, and eventually he went upstairs and I called Tom and I slept on his couch. But, yeah, so that's going to be fun.
Tom O'Brien?
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. It's going to be a fun neighbor situation for the next
year.
Have
you not gone back since?
No, I've been back. I haven't seen that same guy yet.
You should get him a cheese wheel.
Yeah.
And try and slide it under his door and just cram it in there. Real bad. So it's all wedged in and he can't get out of his apartment.
Yeah. Like at the time I was like trying to be, you know, I'm like, all right, I'm being really patient with you, but the longer you push this, the more I think that you're just a complete douchebag.
But also, like, I've had creepers at my building, too.
Uh-huh.
And what you do is you ignore them and you go and you mind your own business in your own apartment.
Well,
like, you don't try
you
to be
call
like,
the cops.
Or you call the cops.
Take action or don't.
Yeah, that was my thing. I was like, you have a few options. You can fight me, you can call the cops, or you can go back in your apartment. So just pick one of those.
Seems like sort of an irrational... You know, response, and this is coming from a guy who is used to his fair share of irrational responses. Yeah, it's like if I see a weird, creepy dude, and there's plenty around my building because we sort of border on Tenderloin area where there gets to be some.
You live right near a park where if you wanted heroin, there's a good chance you'd find it.
Yeah, it's diagonally across the block. Yeah, it's just kind of like, well, I'm just going to ignore this guy and go up to my apartment. And if I do feel extremely weirded out, I'm just going to call the cops.
Yeah, I'm going to lock my door, and then he's not going to get in the door immediately.
No.
Brett, you didn't live with us at that Claremont place that one summer, did you?
Claremont place under the 405?
Yeah, the 805.
Yeah, the 805. Yeah, no, I lived there.
Do you remember that night where we heard like a loud banging? And like we kept hearing this loud banging, and we were convinced that there was like someone downstairs Were you not there?
Oh,
that night?
Yeah, no. And we were all super high.
Yeah, we were all super high, and we heard a banging downstairs.
You forgot that part. And then we all weaponed up. Yeah, we all. For some reason, we had a lot of weapons.
We were like looking at each other, like whispering upstairs, like, what the fuck is going on down there? And it was just this total sitcom moment where Mike, who had like a Marine, he had a Marine K bar. So he was,
all right. Well, wait.
He was holding his K bar. I had like my 9-iron. I think someone had a baseball bat
stick with a gun taped at the end.
It was totally comical. We had every sort of just makeshift weapon.
It was like post college Goonies.
Yeah, exactly. There's like four or five of us,
and none of us had pants on.
Yeah, Mike had like a mini bat in one hand and a K bar in the other, and I had like a golf club and then like a helmet on or something. And we're just sort of sneaking downstairs,
super high.
Yeah, super high. And we figured out that it was just the dog's tail slapping against the tin trash can out there.
But you don't know how close you got to getting killed here, dog.
Yeah.
For background, though, that one time that one of our friends got thrown through a glass table, and then all those dudes turned on us. We ended up at somebody's house in San Diego, and it was not a good situation to be in to
what
begin
the hell?
With.
I don't think I was there for that.
You were. But then, so one of our friends talks some shit, gets thrown through a table, and then
who got thrown through the table?
Steve.
What the fuck? I don't
typical.
Know.
Yeah, you were there.
Typical Steve.
Fisheye.
Yeah,
it's
always
one?
Steve. Yeah.
Which I'm not joking about. That is very typical.
Wait,
Steve.
Wait, Fisheye or Tommy?
Fisheye.
Boy?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the dudes run off, but they're all East County kids. So they're like, we're going to get a posse and we're going to shoot you. And then, so Mike very calmly goes, well, we're going to need to go to the trunk. And so we go downstairs to his car and he opens up the trunk and there's just like 100 like handmade makeshift weapons in there. It's like the scene in the Matrix where they pull the guns out of their mind. There's rolls of duct tape laced bats, and there's like a chain with like spikes in it. It's like
you guys got such the perfect perfect idea of what Fresno was like in that moment, because like they used
to, we're gonna have to go to the trunk.
They used to live at this party house where people would come, and then like they got in like multiple fights when people put in for a keg, and then the keg never came, and they didn't get the beers that did came, and everybody got jumped. So he had all these like makeshift. He had like a roll of quarters in duct tape that you put in your
there
fist.
There were four of those.
Yeah,
there's
four
of those.
They had
their own holders. It was like the poker chip holders. But there were whole rolls of
I had a duct taped roll of quarters at one point in high school.
Yeah. He had a duct tape roll, a couple of those. He definitely had a chain with like something on it.
There were spikes in the links of the chain so that you could potentially cut someone's head off with the chain.
It was like war-torn Somalia.
The best part is they did come back, and I'm pretty sure someone was holding a 2x4 with a nail in it, and they just kept on driving by shouting insults.
Well, it's a deterrent.
It's true. It's
2x4 with a nail in it.
I don't think
is...
any of those would have worked as weapons.
2x4 with a nail in it is pretty awesome.
Mm. Let me tell you about things I like. I like people falling down. I like people running away from animals. And I like people unironically using strange things as weapons in the heat of the moment.
Crack them knees.
Right. And I just have this great memory in college of like, just one of those stupid, two groups of meatheads meeting in the mist and getting into an argument. And then my friend standing outside this townhome, like challenging everyone to come down with like a stepping stone that he had picked up out of the lawn. He's like, bring your asses down here, motherfuckers. I'll show you what's up.
But didn't you get in a bar fight in Germany where like a Turkish dude got his chin cut off with a samurai sword or something?
No, he was like a black dude from Detroit.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we got in a fight in Germany and there was like, dudes ran out with like samurai swords. Also, like,
where the fuck do they have samurai swords?
At Checkers in Dusseldorf.
It's cutlasses.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was insane. Like, they had told us. So when we went there, there was like a list
go
of bars.
Go open this Forgefeiger.
Yeah, there was like a list of bars you couldn't go to, and it was the Turkish bars. And so this was one of those Turkish bars, and so it just
did
like,
you go there because it was on the list of places not to go, or?
Because, like, why not? I don't know. So some guy got, like, hit with a baseball bat in the skull. He actually fractured his skull. He had to go home. He got flown home after that. And then, like, another guy got... He got, like, his chin, like, it was, like, a what do you call it? It was like a filleted chin. It was like a cross section, just like
cut the tip of his chin off.
Cut the tip of his chin off. With a samurai sword. Yeah, it was insane. It was like
so he was inches from getting killed.
Yeah, he would have been decapitated. I mean, he was like a defensive back. If it was like a D tackle, he might have been decapitated.
Because that's close to death right there.
Yeah.
I always think it's weird, you know, in movies and in life when a fight's about to go down and some guy grabs a baseball bat and it's like, it's such like a normal thing to escalate to a baseball bat, but then you're like, so you just raised the stakes from getting beat up to murder, basically, because...
Anytime you pick up anything, essentially, I mean, a beer bottle.
Yeah, but
I was on a boat with some people, and they were like, yeah, well, you know, that one guy, he's not getting out of prison because he cut that guy's face off with a beer bottle. I'm just like, how did I end up on a boat with you people?
But a beer bottle, you can get cracked over the head with a bottle, and it's like, all right, well, that was like a country western saloon fight. But you take
people up. I mean,
you can fuck people up, but a bat, you can only fuck people up. There's no, like, gently hitting someone with a bat.
Very true. Very true. But bottle.
Is there a gently hitting someone with a bottle?
Yeah. I mean, if you get hit in the head with a bottle, the bottle's going to break and you might have a cut. You're most likely going to be all right. You get hit in the head with a bat, you're at the very least severely concussed.
Yeah.
True. But,
But it's rare that you walk away from getting hit with a bottle unscathed.
Yeah, but there's a difference between...
Well, you said gently, so...
But look,
Brendan,
you get hit with a bottle, you're going to get beat up, but you're not going to die. Like, there's a good chance you're going to go into a coma you get hit with a bat.
Yeah.
Bites are the worst.
Yeah. Oh, guys.
Yeah, you got to use a cricket bat.
Is that
can't get as much speed on this.
If you turn it sideways, it's twice as much speed.
Yeah, well, you know. Got to hit him with the flat part.
Unless your name's Oscar Pistorius.
Hey-o.
Oh, topical.
Did he hit her with a cricket bat?
Well, apparently they found a cricket bat that was covered in blood. Ooh. So, and her skull was crushed.
Really?
Ooh, yeah. I didn't realize her skull was crushed.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought he shot her through the door.
Right, but then her skull was also crushed.
Oh, so that was just a clever way to try to make it sound like she had surprised him at home or something?
That's what I hear.
Interesting. Hmm.
Well, so I think what the prosecution is trying to assert is that he beat her to death with a cricket bat and then tried to set it up to look like a murder.
Yeah.
So
interesting. The whole thing, that one was always weird because you live in this literally gated community that's free from all the crime.
Right.
And yet there's a rustle. I mean, it's, you know, it's similar to you guys hunting after what ended up being a dog tail. Flapping when you're high.
Yeah.
But it's like someone's rustling around and you don't even say, who is that? Start shooting.
If we were in South Africa, that might be
a
little more understandable.
If you were in a different state, you literally might have gotten killed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Seriously.
No, I know.
Yeah. That's why we live out here in Cali.
Yeah. The guns aren't outlawed in the city, are they?
They tried, and the NRA came in and said that's unconstitutional.
Yeah, I think you can still...
That's true.
...technically have guns.
Yeah, really? You can own a gun here, but it's not the same culture that it's...
You don't expect people to own a gun.
And it's not shoot first, second, third, fourth, and fifth,
yeah.
And then maybe ask a question. That's just the reality of it.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, how many of our friends out here... this isn't, you know, gun rights, whatever. People want guns for hunting.
I like guns.
But in how many people that we know own multiple guns? I don't know people that own multiple guns.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, I do, but not that live here.
Yeah, that's all I mean.
Yeah. The guy who owned the knuckle rolls and the chain, not surprisingly, has a few has a few large guns.
All right. Well, Vince, we're glad you didn't get shot trying to get into your apartment.
Are you, though? Are you just saying that?
I'm pretty
happy. I would have liked him to have winged you.
You know what? To be honest, if I could have gotten shot, but not, you know, but
you don't want to get shot.
If I could have gotten shot and not hurt in any permanent sort of way,
how does that work?
That would be pretty good.
How do you get shot and not get hurt?
Why would you want that,
dude? How much better of a story would that be?
Well, you'd have a hole in you.
Yeah, but what if it was just like a flesh wound that you can just
flesh wounds prevent you from using that muscle?
You can just buff it out.
I think you have a weird You have an odd perception.
You can get grazed with a bullet. It's not out of the realm of possibilities.
The odds of it, it might hit you are high.
Well,
you
know what you have a lot more of than places that a bullet can graze you is intestines that you can never use again and have to poop out of the
bag. Like I said, I wouldn't gamble to purposely get shot. I'm just saying in a perfect world, he would have shot me in a way that just sort of grazed me in a non.
In a perfect world, it would have ended the way it ended. Why are you trying to up the ante on your successful escape?
Because the story just sort of ended with me being like, and then it all turned out all right. How much better of a story would have been if I had gotten grazed by a bullet?
And now I'm dead and in hell from all those cruel things I said on the internet.
You guys are such negative Nancys, you know? Like, I'm just trying to present a possibility that.
I think you don't even want to flirt with the afterlife. The other side is looking very grim for you.
Says you, of all people. All you do is flirt with the afterlife. Spend all day just staring into the abyss.
All right. Vince, let's hear some of your stand-up.
All right. I don't know if it can compare. I don't think this will require as much explanation as Buck Angel, but if you feel like stopping me, I think I can take that into consideration.
Vince Mancini! I missed that thing where he called me up. What happened? Sorry about that, you guys. This is an awesome set, though. I feel like I got my own like variety show over here. Do you guys, like, pretend that I have a late-night show and just laugh at everything that I say? So funny, Jay Leno. That was hilarious. You guys, I think that someone should tell middle-aged white dudes to stop wearing their cell phone in a little holster like they're a cowboy. And I also think that someone should tell young black dudes to stop wearing their Bluetooth around town like it's jewelry. I don't know if you saw Ron Artest on Jay Leno. He left his Bluetooth headset in the entire time. Dude, what call are you waiting for?
Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to say.
Oh, no, I just thought it was funny.
Oh.
It is true.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it's funny because it's true. Hey.
Black people be all like this.
Have you seen this?
And Jay Leno never asked him about it. I wish he would have just asked him about it, and Ron Artest would have been like, oh, no, dude, it's on silent. Don't worry about it. It's 2013. I don't think how fast you can answer your phone is that much of a status symbol anymore. You guys, so if you're wondering what you're looking at here.
I was gesturing at myself.
You need a little tag on the end of that one, something with old-timey shit.
Well, it was it made much more sense in the order that I originally conceived it in, but I was very flustered getting on stage, and I sort of flipped around, sort of said everything out of order. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, you need like where they have the separate earpiece and the mouthpiece, like you're calling, operator, connect me to a dinosaur. That's what you need. Okay. That's what you need in there.
Klondike
this is,
5.
This has been comedy commentary with Brett.
I would love to just do a set where I take all of Brett's suggestions into consideration and implement them.
It's just me shouting no at you the whole set instead of applauding.
And yeah, Mancini is down.
This is what you call a bro. And I just go, no! No!
And Mancini is down. This is a dark day for stand-up comedy. That's the play-by-play announcer would be doing play-by-play on a comedy set.
This is basically what happens when you're not quite smart enough to be an intellectual and you're a little too goofy to be a meathead. You get a dude. Like, if they were casting a reality show about dudes, I think I'd make it to the third callback. Just right down the middle, you know? I'm not a player, I just brunch a lot.
That one did well.
And
I was a little dumbfounded by how much they were enjoying things that were just like...
Yeah, that was not funny.
Yeah. No.
You know what's messed up? I've heard this chorus set so often that I'm like, man, you copied that from somebody up on stage. Someone
I got into comedy because I was voted class clown in high school, And come to find out, it wasn't because I was funny. It was because I looked like a clown. Some guy was like, "Hey, Tony, this guy looks like Howdy Doody with a lacrosse scholarship." And I hate lacrosse, is the irony of that. It's like a fake sport for dudes named Preston.
Yeah. Should have gone with Trevin. Ben's favorite fake lacrosse name.
Hey, you guys want to hear something weird?
But I feel like Trevin could too easily be black. Trevin sounds like an R&B
singer.
That's
a good point.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys want to hear something weird?
This is Trevin Washington.
Hey.
Oh, girl.
Is Brett still here?
What, Brett?
Oh, sorry, Brett.
Hey, you guys want to hear something weird?
Sure.
Lacrosse isn't a joke out here.
I know. It's weird.
Are people carrying sticks around.
Are they forcing you to play?
I'm already a pro. I'm naturally athletic and blonde.
Yeah, the weird thing that when I got to New York, especially when it was summer, like you'd go into certain bars and there'd be like a crew of dudes just dressed like that weird Cape Cod shit that you only see in catalogs if you're in California, where they have like the
Land's
salmon.
End.
Where they have like the salmon shirt and the
Boatsman's Quarterly,
the boat shoes with like really high Madras shorts, and you're like, holy shit, that's a real thing that people do.
Yeah, I thought it was like a joke that you see on Family Guy occasionally.
Yacht Clothing Monthly.
Yeah, it's weird.
Lots of Patagonia vests. Mm. That's really big.
And at some point in my life, I figured out that it was easier to just hang out with the bro dogs than it was to try and hang out with the 30 radical feminists that I went to grad school with because of how I look. And I could never fully commit, you know, and it basically made me like the Jane Goodall of bros. I live with them. I study them. Sometimes they invite me to participate in their rituals. I get really excited. I write about it in my journal. And you know, Jane Goodall, she worked with chimps. And when a chimp gets agitated, it just rips your face off. Like, that's the one move in chimp karate, is they just rip your face right off. And hanging out with bros is kind of similar. They're a little nicer. If they get agitated, they won't rip your face off. They'll just wait till you pass out and draw some dicks on it.
So true.
And I was wondering, like, do girls engage in this type of behavior? Where, like, one of them gets drunk and passes out, and the other ones are like, oh my god, you guys, Betsy's asleep. Quick, I'm gonna draw my pussy on her face. Somebody get the camera, I'm gonna put my tits in her hair. Oh my god, Betsy, do you remember last night? You're so wasted. I totally milk-bagged you.
Why isn't that done?
Maybe it is. Maybe we just don't know about it.
And they just draw vaginas on their backs.
Wrote my notes out in Comic Sans. It's a font that we use. I like Comic Sans. Comic Sans is like the Smash Mouth of fonts. Font humor? Man, you guys are awesome. Anybody that gets font humor. I got a whole thing about Helvetica, if you guys want to stick around after. I didn't prepare anything. I hear people use this phrase a lot when they're like, man, I smoke weed like it's my job. Or, man, I'm going to beat your ass like it's my job. And I hear that, and I always wonder, what, you're going to mope through it hatefully?
See, I don't know how to feel about the applause break. I kind of like it, but then I kind of don't. I'm like, eh, all right.
Seems arbitrary.
Yeah, it does. It seems like validation without... It seems like slightly dishonest validation.
Man, yeah. You guys are such bitches. Just enjoy it.
That just seemed like a weird place for an applause break.
Yeah, I agree.
Because those are people who mopefully hate their way through their jobs every single day.
That's just
a sad group of people.
Those are my people. That's my audience.
Right.
Yeah.
You and I must have had way different jobs if you're using that as a way to describe you doing something enthusiastically. If I were to smoke weed like it's my job, I'd probably, you know, read my email for a couple hours. pretend to take a bong load if my boss walked by. And then just print out like a Gawker article to read on the toilet. That'd be me smoking weed like it's my job. But I used to have a desk job and it was the worst thing ever. And I think my favorite thing about it, you know, other than the barely disguised disdain that we all had for each other, was when two coworkers, they're doing small talk with each other, but then they answer completely the complete wrong small talk. One guy will be like, "Hey man, what's up?" "Yeah, you too." And neither of them even acknowledges the entire this total communication breakdown because they're already dead. They're just like two retarded ships passing in the night, gun fingering each other. While you just soak up the alienation like a bathroom mat.
That's a sour note, not gonna lie.
I approve of that.
No, but that joke was really good.
Word pause.
Thank
yeah.
You.
Bathroom mat.
Yeah, I called an audible on that one. Didn't work out so well.
I like that. I like a good pause between compound words.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe next time you should try Swiffer.
All right.
Don't forget to take all of Brett's advice.
Okay.
That wasn't my advice. I do not approve the Swiffer message.
For the record, all right.
Well, it's brand synergy. You could, talk to Swiffer about corporate development and see if they want to sponsor your show.
Okay.
For you telling jokes about absorbing stuff like a Swiffer.
All right, I like it.
Yeah.
How about them sports? The weather! Ah! Coworker bought 3,000 malfunctioning!
Another sour note, I'm gonna lie.
That was terrible.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah.
But I think there's...
I don't defend it.
I think there's promise there somewhere.
It's a good joke when I don't tell it obnoxiously.
What do you say after weather?
How about them sports? Weather.
Ah!
Oh, that's it?
Malfunctioning.
Oh, malfunctioning.
Because it's the communication. Never mind.
It's
a little too far removed.
It needs to be removed from the other part of the joke.
I liked the image that comes from pirates gun-fingering each other over the bows of ships desperately trying to connect.
That's when you have two similar punchlines. You just have to cut one of them.
Yeah, I thought you were onto a different joke or something.
Yeah, no.
I was like a ship sailing in the night right there.
I know, right? We just gun fingered each other's butts.
So I got a dog recently. I live up in San Francisco, and wait, pause.
This is probably like 3 months old, but the removing guns and just leaving thumbs up meme.
Yeah,
I kind of want that just to go forever.
It's called thumbsandammo.com.
Yeah, I know. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's glorious.
I don't know what it's like to have a dog here, but I have a dog in San Francisco, and everybody asks you the same stupid question because, you know, San Francisco is a liberal city, which is awesome, but it also makes it really obnoxious. And everybody asks you the same question, which is it a rescue? Like, they don't even wait for you to volunteer the information. It's just like an accusation. Like, it's pass fail now. Okay. Are you a terrible person? Yes or no? And I don't really know how to answer because I bought my dog off a Craigslist Mexican for $50. I don't know if he technically qualifies as a rescue. I feel like the difference between my dog and a rescue dog is probably about a week.
Again, odd place for an applause break.
Crowd favorite right there. They like that.
Well, I think you struck a tone with sort of the rescue dog smugness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I hoped for.
Which is what I have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I did too. It's just, yeah.
It's my dog's a rescue.
Yeah. Just want to get that out there. Yeah. Make sure everybody knows.
Yeah.
Because all dogs eventually become rescue dogs. That's my Disney movies. All dogs eventually. So I've taken to turn it around on them, and the way I answer this question, I call it the blindside response, where they ask me if it's a rescue dog, and I go, oh no, I didn't rescue him. He rescued me. I feel bad.
That's kind of a weird place for it.
Can we get All Dogs Are Rescue Dogs into production?
Yeah. No, all dogs eventually become rescues. Yeah.
I feel like I failed when you guys clapped. You're like, oh. I'm not laughing, but that was good. You're clever. Have a pat on the head. I also feel like if you're trying to stop puppy mills, maybe give it a less cute name. A puppy mill? That sounds adorable. This is a bunch of puppies milling around.
The other place you could have took that joke is stop cutting down puppy trees.
All right.
Oh yeah. All right.
Absurdly. All
right.
Yeah.
Brennan likes the more absurd pun usage of it.
It's really because my sense of humor is
I approve
very
of puppy
advanced.
Trees. This is Brett. I approve of puppy trees.
Thank you, Brett.
Thumbs up on puppy trees.
Stop cutting down puppy trees.
Write all my TPS reports on puppy tree paper.
On 50 stock puppy tree.
Try that in one set.
Okay. No, you could add. I think I could add a tag there. There's no. There's
stop.
No
or
limit.
Stop cutting down puppy trees.
Yeah.
So I have this theory that our country is in decline, and I base this on the fact that there's 15 shows about people buying each other's used shit, and zero about astronauts. I don't know if you guys watch basic cable at all, but there's like Pawn Stars and Hardcore Pawn and Interracial Pawn, Amputee Pawn,
Squirter Pawn.
There's Child Pawn, which is barely legal because of child labor laws. And then you got like the really bad reality shows like on the TLC network, you know, where it's like Toddlers and Tiaras and Oops, I Married a Toilet.
That was just silly enough to work.
It's all about the oops.
Just stupid enough to work.
It's all about the oops at the beginning.
I actually thought of that. I thought of that like 5 minutes before that set. So
it's all
I'm glad I got the biggest laugh of the whole thing.
Without the oops,
it doesn't running on instincts. I like you when you're at your most animalistic.
He said without the oops, it doesn't hit as hard.
Oh yeah.
It's oops.
Like you're just finding out about it at the moment the show.
You went through the whole wedding.
Boy, is my face red.
You went through the engagement.
We're pooping.
You went through the engagement and the bachelor party, and you had to plan the whole wedding. Yeah. And then, like, it's a year later, you're like, oh no, oops.
What was I thinking? And some uppity film producer just shows up on your door and points out that maybe you've been fucking a toilet for the last 3 years.
Like watching, I don't know if you guys watch Toddlers and Tiaras ever, but watching Toddlers and Tiaras, it feels like you've fallen asleep and woken up in that alternate future from Back to the Future 2 where Biff owns the casino. Everything's all fucked up. There's like tarted up little girls and gypsies punching each other while a midget tries to make chocolate. That was an actual show. It was a midget that made chocolate. So basically we're living in, you know, the post-apocalyptic future world. And, you know, I have to function in the system too, so I come up with a few reality show pitches for the dystopian future world that we're living in. And the first one is called, you guys remember Joe Millionaire?
Yeah.
My idea is just called Joe AIDS. And Joe Millionaire, you know, was like this one guy.
Is that your cameraman?
Yeah.
Is
it someone just goes, filming? Jesus.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're doing it right.
Yeah. Religious man in the audience.
He told all the girls that he had $1 million. And he really didn't, just to see if they would, you know, still love him anyway. Joe AIDS is kind of like that, but there's three guys. And one of them's a millionaire. And the other two have AIDS. And the way, you know, if you want to get the money, you have to consummate the relationship. And the tagline is like, are you willing to bet it all for love? That's how it works. So, these are ideas for the dystopian future world. This is satire, please. We actually had a first draft of that is just called Who Wants to Get AIDS for $1 Million? The producers, they thought it needed a twist. And then the other idea I had, and this one's much worse. So it's a much worse idea for a reality show in the dystopian future world. And it's a cross between Toddlers and Tiaras and The Bachelor. And it's just called The Pedophile. This is satire. And
I realize I have to say that like 16 times, otherwise people would just be totally turned
off.
Oh,
he's making a real awful show.
Yeah.
Why is he making this TV show?
Somebody stop him from making that show.
I thought it was obvious, but then I realized, like, oh no, if I just
For
say
the love
this,
of God. Why do you keep making these horrible shows? Someone's going to watch
tell
this.
Us about another one. It's going to happen.
If I just say this like 20 times, it'll be okay when I tell that joke.
Well, the way it works is all the little toddlers and Charles girls, they come out, you know, they do their act. And at the end, this guy, he takes his favorites back into a van. This is satire. And he gives all his favorites a lollipop. It's like a baby's first rose ceremony. This is satire. And then at the end of the season, he picks a winner, and she gets molested. But her mom gets $1,200. Thank you.
I like to leave on when the crowd's groaning at me.
Guys, it's not a real show. It's not a real show.
Once they're fully turned off, that's when I just drop the mic and walk off stage.
Oh, why is he making such horrible TV shows?
I know, what a jerk.
Why is he?
What kind of person would do that?
What's his deal? He was funny, and now he's making awful TV shows.
I know.
That was a good set, man.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Except for the coworker bot. Coworker
you
bot.
You just
got to
connect those together.
That's a funny joke. It didn't. The timing wasn't right.
It's two punchlines for one joke. Don't.
Yeah, it was too far away.
Yeah.
You need to bring them closer together.
Brett, what should I just add a stegosaurus and?
I am always in favor of a stegosaurus if you can make it work. If you can cram a stegosaurus into anywhere,
okay,
I'm in favor of it. I think you stick with the pirate ship. I think you keep the visual image running.
No, right.
Yeah, and then you do something with how the finger guns are ineffective against the blankety blank fart.
Okay, all right. What if I just said it like that?
Because you
plunder and sinker. I don't know if there's a. I don't know what you can do.
And then the finger, actually, every joke should just trail off into like maybe I'll think of a way to flesh this out later.
Blank fart. It's like you always tell us about the open mic you went to where the guy just kept going like, "Oh God, I need to get better material."
Yeah. So meta.
Yeah. I really like it.
He's just talking about real shit that's real to him, you know?
Yeah. You know, like Biggie Smalls is like, you know, if I grew up in the suburbs, I'd be rapping about BMWs, but. You know, if I worked at McDonald's, I'd be rapping about Big Macs, but I sold drugs.
Yeah.
Hey, that's not funny. That guy died.
He did die.
On my birthday. Worst birthday present
oh,
ever.
Oh, man. Oh.
Yeah.
What a... Yeah.
Yeah. It's true.
It's a bummer.
Yeah. I'm not going to put that in my comedy set.
It was all a dream. Used to work for a magazine.
Brendan, how's your rescue dog?
He's good.
Is he?
Yeah, he's I watched him eat a piece of spaghetti the other day, and he actually kind of looks like the Tramp.
Mm, he does look exactly like the Tramp.
Yeah.
He could play the Tramp in a live-action movie of the Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah, he could. We need to get like a, what is that, a King Charles Spaniel?
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Either a King Charles or a, what's the other one that looks like that? Not a Pomeranian. Is it a Pomeranian? No.
Pomeranian's all poofy.
And next week on Dog Breeds with Vincent Brendan.
Oh, what the hell is it? Oh, it's driving me nuts. Sorry. I think it is a King Charles, but yeah.
Brett, and I disapprove this joke.
Next week is we show Vincent Brendan each a picture of a dog, and they tell us what the breed is.
And then we argue about it with no fact checker.
Yeah, and then we put out just the audio of it, and people listen. Question mark, profit.
No, that is, nope, that's not a Pomeranian. Definitely no fact checker.
This is clearly a Bernese Mountain Dog. The evidence.
You can tell by the toss size.
a debate, many debates with no fact checker. Mm. Hmm.
Well, that's why we podcast.
Yeah.
If we had a fact checker, I'd just quit.
I would too. The day we get a fact checker is the day I retire.
I get to make outrageous proclamations. And that's what's wonderful about it. And then if someone emails in to correct me, I just delete it.
Yeah.
And hopefully you guys haven't seen it
yet. Is that why there's no emails in our inbox?
What emails? What inbox?
I don't know
what you're talking about.
Touche.
And scene.
Touche. Squad.
Squad.
I wanted to test your guys' movie knowledge. So I was wondering, all right, so can anyone name any movie opening this weekend?
Nope.
This weekend.
Movies are like television, but super sized.
What movies come out in the middle of March?
All right, so what would you say? All right, so if you had
Evil
to pick,
Dead 2 or Evil Dead Remake.
Not yet. Close. But if you, all right, so if you had to, what do you think the highest grossing movie of 2013?
Oz.
Okay, you got that one.
Boom.
Right. You're right.
To the face.
You're right.
I know it bombed. Burt Wonderfart.
Yeah, that's bombed. That did, yeah.
You know why? Because it looks terrible. So people decided.
Turns out,
when the trailers look terrible, people, even the retards of our country, don't want to see a shitty movie.
I don't know what happened where every comedy movie just has to be like a fucking dude in a crushed velvet shirt with jewels all over and a giant wig. Like, it has to be so over the top.
They're all, yeah. And it's, no one gives a shit about jokes anymore. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
Well, there's got to be a ridiculous character, and then we'll have a Jack Black sidekick, and then it's awful.
Yeah, and it's so overly staged, the whole thing, that it's, yeah. I mean, the trailers look terrible, and I like Steve Carell, but he's sort of become...
I think Steve Carell is an amazing improv actor.
He's a good, and he's a great straight man.
He is.
He's not a good... guy you dress up in a crazy costume.
Well, they're trying to,
and expect him to make really over the top jokes.
Yeah,
I never saw the Get Smart stuff because the same sort of thing where it's like, yeah, I get he's sort of the straight man, but it's a lot of slapsticky sort of stuff.
They're trying to get him to be like a Chris Farley or a Will Ferrell, yeah, who's going to be really over the top and silly. And it's like, no, he's a straight man.
Yeah,
and you think about his funniest shit is The Office. Yeah.
And
like
he was
the
so
classical
incredible.
Days of The Office. He was so straight and Daily Show too, where he was such a straight man.
Even Anchorman is like, oh, well, maybe he'll play like a wacky character, but like his character wasn't that wacky. It was pretty. It was just like sort of short and clipped and deadpan.
Anchorman's a funny movie. The played outedness of, you know, quoting lines notwithstanding and all that stuff. Like on its own, I think Anchorman Stands is a funny movie.
Oh,
but
sure.
I feel like that was a turning point for the blockbuster comedy where it was just sort of like, all right, well, let's just get these absurd characters. Let's get, you know, like, let's just keep cranking it up.
Yeah.
And it sort of achieved its absurd end of like, we don't need jokes. We just need crazy set pieces and shitty costumes.
Well, it's
and
like
the rest will take care of itself.
It's like Will Ferrell is basically like LeBron James, where you can just give him the ball and everybody could sort of stand around on the sideline while he takes it to the hole. But there's no score in movies, so it's just a bunch of shitty teams that like trying to give the ball to LeBron when there is no fucking LeBron on that team. There's just like,
man.
You know what I mean?
You change the rules of the game. You're like, I was with you with the LeBron thing, and they're like, except the thing is, there's no score in movies. And I was like, whoa.
That's right. Philosophical.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what they've been trying to do where they, you know, they give one guy the ball and they're like, all right, man, just go. And it's like, you could kind of write something.
Yeah, but I would
it.
Even say it's less that and more, you know, the Dwayne Wade isn't trying to feed LeBron James. You've got, you know, Allen Iverson, who's, you know, retired 3 years ago, trying to feed JaVale McGee. You know, like, and they're still trying to be like, I wonder why we're not winning a championship.
Yeah.
That's more what it's like. It's like everyone's just trying to copy it with not the same quality of actors, with the same jokes that have already been done. I would say it's kind of like someone trying to run the Wildcat in a 2012 or 2013 NFL, where it's like...
With
oh, that,
Tebow, man.
Yeah,
with Tebow.
That, that worked in 2008 or 2009 or whatever that was.
Oh, and like shit, now they're going like, to snap the ball to the running back.
You can't still make those same jokes, you know?
But, Brendan, they're not going to think they're either snapping it to the running back.
Right, and I actually had that same thought. I was watching Black Sheep the other day, and I was laughing at it, and I was like... Oh, man. I mean, all these jokes have been done since then, and they're not funny anymore.
Well, they'd
but,
been done at that point, too.
Yeah, but I sort of recognize it as being funny, and probably no one else.
But Black Sheep was always like the retarded stepchild of Tommy Boy.
Right. That's true. I still do like Black Sheep, though. I still think it's funny.
But it's still, I mean, it's still like a pale imitation of... Trying to recreate Tommy Boy.
I watched Basketball the other day, and I laughed. And
I still have never watched that all the way through. And I love those guys.
Yeah, and no, it's really funny, but I had the same sort of thought of, if I showed this to someone who, you know, graduated in high school in 2007 or 2008, you know, they probably wouldn't think it was that funny because they've seen so many derivative things since then, and humor sort of evolved past then, or they've seen, you know, they do South Park voices in that movie before South Park was even a show. But if you watch that movie in 1996 when it came out, you're like, holy shit, this is amazing.
Okay, here's a question. When you go back and you watch a comedy that you thought was really funny at the time and now it's not, do you blame the fact that it's not funny?
It's an example, though, because...
Okay, a perfect example. Well, for a lot of Farrelly Brothers movies. Like, you go watch Something About Mary. Really, it's dated. It's not that good anymore.
Okay.
I still think Something About Mary is funny. But I was thinking...
Because we were there when it happened.
Right, and I thought about that. I had this thought while I was watching Basketball is, man, you could take this whole sort of thought process that I'm going through, you could take it all the way back to Who's on First and like how stupid that whole thing is, and it's just a pun.
Yeah.
Just like a pun about a Chinese guy.
Yeah.
And that's the whole basis of the fucking,
yeah,
this entire bit that's become this canon of comedy.
Wait, so, who's Chinese?
He was on First.
But all right, so yeah, so that plays into my question.
So I actually thought all the way back to Who's on First. So I felt like I went all the way back to, you know, Who's on First begat whatever, you know, Charlie Chaplin, or I guess Charlie Chaplin was silent, so it would have been before that. But you know what I'm saying? It goes all the way down the line to, you know, maybe if you grew up, you know, if you were born in the mid 90s. You think that something that we think is so stupid and derivative is funny because that's your frame of reference.
Right,
so,
right. Yeah. Okay.
Or flip side, the point of no return has been reached. Postmodernism has taken hold, and all that's left is the people who use Twitter to tweet absolute random shit, and the Stegosauruses win.
I wish I had taken that to Vegas and bet $1 billion that Brett would say that, and I'd be able to go.
So my question
if I had $1 billion to bet, I'd be fine.
So my question is, you take a movie like I didn't see Slapshot, which came out in the 70s. I didn't see that until the mid-2000s, and I still think it's funny. Whereas I go back to like Something About Mary, and I thought it was really funny at the time, and now it's not. Do I blame, like, does Slapshot get credit for being brilliant that it's still funny, and or is it just that Something About Mary was so popular that everything copied it and fucked it out, and now it seems bad in retrospect?
That's a tough question because I totally agree with you on Slapshot. I saw Slapshot earlier than you, but I was probably 20 the first time I saw it, and I loved it, and I thought it was amazing. I still think it's amazing. But I know that we also feel the same way about Caddyshack, where we're like, I don't know, it's entertaining, but you talk to someone who's in their late 30s or early 40s, and they think Caddyshack is just – the greatest movie of all time, and it's peaked, and there's
people
nothing
five
better.
Years old, like 5 to 8 years older than us, think Caddyshack is amazing. They think Happy Gilmore is okay, where it's like it's flipped for our
generations. It goes to frame of reference, but there are outliers. Airplane came out before we were born, which I still think is amazing.
Yeah, that holds up.
You know,
Naked Gun holds up.
And I was going to say
Major League.
Naked Gun is probably my favorite comedy of all time. Either that or like Big Lebowski.
Top Secret, also fantastic.
I think Top Secret's amazing. But yeah, like Naked Gun is so good. And I sort of feel like, or at least I have a dream that one day I will have a child and I will show him Naked Gun. And he will see the scene where Frank Drebin walks into the toilet with his microphone still on and pees and then starts farting in front of the whole press conference. And he will laugh for half an hour like I did the first time I saw it. You know? He or she will laugh, you know.
That's my child.
That's my dream.
Does the work get credit for holding up, or more?
I think it's a combination where it needs to be a good movie.
Yeah,
and I think part of the problem with something about, I mean, I also think that the Farrelly brothers sucking for so long afterwards doesn't help their cause.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's just the reality that.
So does that affect Dumb and Dumber too?
No, Dumb and Dumber's awesome. You're right, but I mean.
So I feel like Dumb and Dumber's carved out its place as like a somewhat iconic timeless
movie. I guess the thing is, it's like some movies are like a case of right place, right time. And I just wonder, like, how much do you hold that against it? Like, do you hold that against it after the fact?
Well, because I think some of it, something about Mary is a lot more sight-gagging type stuff. And whereas, like, Dumb and Dumber, for example, is Jim Carrey just being fucking awesome, like, when he was still funny and not a crazy weirdo.
I still love Ace Ventura, too.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. Like, Ace Ventura 1 and 2.
1 and 2, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I meant also, but both of them are
excellent. Ace Ventura.
Both of the Ace Venturas are excellent.
And Dumb and Dumber's awesome. And I think something about Mary's is a little more dated. And, you know, some of the stuff with Matt Dillon was pretty funny, I thought.
He was great. He's the best character in that movie.
And a lot of it is just sort of a crappy romantic comedy. You know, Cameron Diaz didn't hold up too well. I don't know. I think
it's a lot of, like, maybe stuff that wasn't necessarily hilarious, but it was just sort of outrageous at the time, and it's not...
Yeah, I think it probably, if we had watched it a couple more times even then, we might not have enjoyed it quite as much.
And there's other movies like that. I mean, I never thought The Hangover was that great.
I never liked The Hangover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it the first time through, and then the second time lost all its magic.
You know what? I'm the only one who says this because everybody thought the second Hangover was so bad and blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
no, second time watching the first Hangover.
No, I know, but and whenever people talk about The Hangover 2, it's like, oh, it's terrible. Like, they turned all the characters unlikable. And I think the second one's better because it's more honest. Like, if those characters were real people, they wouldn't be, like, I don't think they were ever meant to be likable. I think it was a weird misread of the first one that everybody thought that they were, oh, they're just these nice guys. And it's like, no.
No, they're all monsters.
They were all monsters to begin with. The second one just made it more obvious, like, that they were monsters. And I realized it was the same plot, but it's a fucking sequel.
I do think there is something where when movies are so box office popular that it doesn't necessarily help their cause of being, I mean, the movie's already made, right?
Yeah.
But there's something where if you hear idiots saying the stupid lines from a movie over and over,
yeah,
it's not going to help its longevity.
Right. And then people try to copy it over and over.
It doesn't. So I don't know that the Something About Mary stuff necessarily got fucked out.
I mean, that was the Hangover of, you know, 98 or whenever it came out.
True. You know, yes. But I don't think the Hangover is gonna stand the test of time very well either.
No.
It's just not. You know, we'll look back and...
I didn't think it stood the test of time like weeks after I saw it.
Agreed. Right. I saw it after it had already exploded and been the comedy of the summer.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's fun. That's all right. I liked when Ed Helms sang his song. I enjoyed that. You know, I liked...
But it's sort of the stuff that's really over the top like that, that's the kind of stuff that people... That's the kind of stuff that becomes mainstream success. It's like comedy that's actually good. That's like a little more, I don't want to say subtle because some, you know, but it's not as broad.
There's probably very few comedies that we all like that are the biggest box office comedies of the year.
Yeah.
Even the Will Ferrell ones, Step Brothers, I don't think like killed at the box office. Yeah. And that's one of my favorite movies.
You can
movies.
Still go back and read like Ebert's review and how much he hated it. And
hated what?
Step Brothers.
Even when I first saw it, I didn't love it, and it has just grown on me over time.
People don't want to.
Step Brothers is great.
Yeah. It's
also
great.
I will fight anyone who does not like Naked Gun.
Oh yeah,
including your own child.
We'll throw down.
I should look up. There's got to be some negative reviews.
Don't do it to Brendan right now. He's not ready.
Come on, I'm curious because I feel like critics never have to own their terrible opinions. And there's so many of them where, like, if you just go, like Mick LaSalle for The Chronicle, if you just go back over the history of his reviews, it's like, how many times does he have to prove that he's completely out of touch and retarded?
Yeah. Both Naked Gun and Naked Gun 2.5. Just excellent films.
Oh, yeah.
O.J. Simpson. Just what a performance. Tour de force. Especially the beginning where he tries to kick through the door and he tries to kick the door down and then he just kicks through the door and then he tries to open it and he, you know, the face goes in the birthday cake and he burns his hand on the stove.
You like the three steps further.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just so over the top.
All right. That's
brilliant.
I got a fantastic review for you, Brendan.
Okay.
This is by David Keyes of cinemaphile.org.
Okay, I will find him and kill him.
The Naked Gun is an inept sack of crap that is only of use to people who are looking for proof that hell does exist. It's excruciatingly rotten in every sense. Not funny, not comical, not entertaining, not even fun to look at. It would be inaccurate to call it a comedy. It had the possibility to make people laugh, but I didn't even crack a smile. Actually, it made me sick. This is one of the most depressing experiences I've had in my life. Wow. It stars Hollywood's moron, Leslie Nielsen, as a cop with a brain the size of his nose named Lieutenant Frank Drebin. What the fuck kind of analogy is that? Who is hunting down a man named Vincent Ludwig, a man who has to plot to kill Queen Elizabeth.
I like how even in A Naked Gun, they have to do the mandatory three paragraph plot synopsis.
Yeah, I know, right?
Thanks, reviewer. That's super useful. Why don't you just tell me how the movie goes? Yeah.
While Drebin is working on the case, he meets an attractive woman named Jane Spencer, who is played by one of Hollywood's leading sluts, Priscilla Presley.
What?
Is this satire? This has got to be satire. She has
Did you write this?
She has a thing for cops, and every man on the police force wants her. She, however, only has an eye for Drebin, and he doesn't realize until later on that she was once Ludwig's assistant. There are a lot of walk-ons in the movie, anywhere from Hollywood's murderer O.J. Simpson. Oh, this is clearly after the fact. What the fuck?
That's not even fair.
To Hollywood's first class.
You can't do that.
To Hollywood's.
Yeah.
You can't review a movie like 8 years after it comes out.
It's review uploaded in 98, so that was 10 years after the fact. But to Hollywood's first class jerk, Reggie Jackson. All of the film's jokes are mostly aimed at Jim Carrey type audiences.
He's angry at Reggie Jackson.
And there's a certain amount of stupidity in every line of the film. Even the way the picture is directed is screwed up. For example, in one scene where Queen Elizabeth is at the baseball game, she tosses a hot dog to a person beside her for no apparent reason. The man gives her a weird look, and the audience laughs. What were they laughing about anyway?
Audience, there's no way he saw it in the movie theater 10 years later. This guy's a fraud.
Yeah.
How do you not like the Enrico Palazzo umpire scene? If you don't like that scene, you don't like comedy. You don't like comedy. Hey, the umpire's Enrico Palazzo. I watched the umpire-specific scenes recently on the YouTubes or something. Oh, my God. When he starts, he doesn't know whether to call a ball or strike.
Yeah.
And then he just starts
dancing.
And then he starts calling a million strikes because he's having so much fun. And then he calls a million balls because he doesn't want
No, he's got a delay. Yeah, before the seventh inning stretch.
So he keeps just like there's no strikes anymore.
Yeah. Dave Spiewak gets really upset. That's the pitcher.
The one that hit at the time and it still resonates is the highlight video where the guy's head falls off.
Yeah,
and then the tiger gets balled by a tiger, and then another guy gets run over by a car,
and it's like a 1987 Chrysler LeBaron.
But I remember just laughing uproariously when the guy's head went over the fence.
Yeah. Yeah, I still tell, like, I use the one-liner all the time of where, he pushes, the main bad guy played by Ricardo Montalban off the top of Dodger Stadium, and then the steamroller comes in. Well, he first gets run over by a bus, then the steamroller comes over and makes him flat, and then the USC marching band comes and marches over him, and George Kennedy's character goes, "My father went the same way." I use that all the time. Anytime you see like an exaggerated death, my father went the same way.
Indeed. Yeah. You guys want to wrap this up?
Yeah.
All right.
Suppose now's as good a time as any.
Yeah.
Yeah. First Tuesday in April, I think I'm doing a show at the Punchline, I believe, with Leslie Small.
You sound sure about it, which is good.
Yeah. Punchline, April, whatever that first Tuesday is. Yeah.
It's a Tuesday.
It's
a Tuesday.
Do it.
Brett. Thanks for joining us.
Shut up.
How are the ribs?
Ribs.
Pork chops. Pork chop sandwiches.
Dude, pork chops.
All right. Well, Brendan, you want to take us on that?
Yeah, why the hell not? All right. Well, thanks for listening this week. Until next week, we will see you later. Thanks for a guest for not coming on. Frockcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, keep them coming. Any questions you got? We like to answer your questions and read your stories.
Yeah,
and
thanks
such.
To our guest blooper Brett, who's a regular on the show.
I forgot you guys were people, so it was late.
All right. Well,
pork chops.
keep the emails coming. We love reading them on air. And until next week, good night and good chins.
Boom.
Who was supposed to be on?
No one.
No one. I just am used to
you
shouting at a guest.
You fucking mother.
And I screwed up. Oh, man. Naked Gun. I could talk about that movie all day. The second one, too. Where the guy's got the birthmark on his ass. Looks like Whistler's mother.
Hmm.